The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised. This is PFW in Progress.
When you come in on Monday and you're not feeling real well, does anyone ever say to you, sounds like someone has a case of the Mondays?
No, man. I believe you get your ass kicked saying something like that, man.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
I'm going to need you to go ahead and come in tomorrow. So if you could be here around 9, that would be great. Oh, and I almost forgot. I'm also going to need you to go ahead and come in on Sunday, too. Okay? Thanks.
Paul Perillo.
Well, look, I already told you. I deal with the goddamn customers so the engineers don't have to. I have people skills. I am good at dealing with people. Can't you understand that? What the hell is wrong with you people?
And Andy. And Andy?
What would you do if you had $1 million?
I'll tell you what I'd do, man. Two chicks at the same time, man.
Andy Hart.
I'm thinking I might take that new chick from logistics. Things go well, I might be showing her my O face. Oh. You know what I'm talking about.
Eric Scalavino, for now anyway.
It's not that I'm lazy. It's that I just don't care. When I make a mistake, I have 8 different people coming by to tell me about it. That's my only real motivation, is not to be hassled. That'll only make someone work just hard enough not to get fired.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Every single day of my life has been worse than the day before it. So that means that every single day that you see me, that's on the worst day of my life.
What about today? Is today the worst day of your life?
Yeah.
Wow, that's messed up.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. It is Thursday here at Gillette Stadium. And the Tufts lacrosse team is out on the field practicing.
A lot of activity here at the stadium.
Yeah.
Tufts luck.
Getting ready for their Division III championship down in Baltimore.
We have Revs players working out
yeah.
in the tunnel. We have Tufts lacrosse players on the field.
Yeah.
Sure there's
Patriots players.
Sprinkles Patriots youngsters about.
OTA, so
and veterans, Paul.
That's true. Michael Omanawanui spoke this morning.
Yeah, bright and early. Breakfast with who, man? Yeah, breakfast with who, man? That was good. Eric was there. He'll fill us in a little bit later on what transpired out there. And
some news, actually.
Yeah,
He made a little bit of news.
Yeah? Well, what did he say?
Well, you can finish setting the table.
Okay.
We'll get to it.
All right. So that's going on. Some Aaron Hernandez news we'll get into a little bit. I guess on they're looking for clues, in his tattoos.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
And closer inspection, there was a Paul Perillo tattoo on Aaron Hernandez.
What?
I didn't know that
there was?
You were that close to him.
There was?
Yeah.
I hadn't heard that.
Paulie Pee-Pee?
Yeah.
I hadn't heard that. That's troubling.
Yeah.
That's troubling. Should I get a safe house and lay low for a while?
I don't know.
It was a quote. It just said, I just drink to get drunk.
Right, something like that.
I heart Pee-Pee.
Science.
Science.
And cryptic messages being found in
right.
here.
What is this about? So evidently, in all seriousness, they are looking for
they really are, actually.
The artist
yes.
who may have done that. They think it could have been in Boston. It could have been in Rhode Island. It could have been in Florida. It could have been in California.
Right.
Connecticut,
so basically,
maybe?
They have no idea. Could
right.
have been in Connecticut that was
right.
also mentioned. So they have no idea.
Yeah.
Although I have to tell you that I'm finding, unlike Andy, who continues to be fascinated by this story, I, not that I'm making light of the seriousness, the severity of what happened, but I'm sort of... desensitized to the whole thing, and anything I see with him, I'm not really all that interested in.
I hear you.
I'm interested to find out what happens.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I'm interested in the outcome.
If he goes to trial and stuff like, I'll become
right.
interested in the trial.
Right.
Absolutely, when he goes to trial. But I'm not really interested in the tattoo mm-hmm. message. Or listen, I'm 99.999% sure he did this.
Mm.
I don't need. You know, I'm not a prosecutor. I don't.
Right.
I don't.
Right. You don't need the burden of proof. Right.
You know.
Even if he didn't pull the trigger, he's close enough where he's an accomplice to murder and should go
right.
away for the rest of his life.
But I don't find each and every piece to the puzzle all that interesting at
right.
this point.
Right. Developing stories.
Exactly. That's. I guess it's probably more of a rant against the media. Check
right. news coverage.
Well, news coverage.
Speaking
Check.
Of the media, the way they're treating the whole Johnny Manziel thing and just. Making such a big deal that he's the third string quarterback,
Like, what is he supposed to
be? He's a rookie.
Really?
That's what happens.
Well, that's what happens.
Every rookie starts out at the bottom of the depth
chart. But the Browns aren't doing anything to help it. I guess, Mike Pettine said,
Pettine.
Patton. He said, you know, we're not going to, you know, judge our quarterbacks by how many jersey sales there are. It's like, just lay off them for, you know, a little bit, will you? Just don't comment on
this. Well, you know what that's an attempt to. That's kind of Parcells like. You know, that's Parcells' version of
getting in
there.
Let's
not put him in Canton yet.
No, I understand.
He hasn't done anything yet.
Yeah.
But
he hasn't done anything wrong yet.
It's very common, no matter how high a guy gets drafted, you come in and you take your reps.
Take your lumps.
Sure.
And you take your lumps.
Bledsoe was the first overall pick, and they had Scott Seacules in here, and people really thought that he was going to be the starter, and Zolak was still here.
Right.
And then, sure enough, you go through, you know, the offseason and mini camp and training camp. And the first game, who was the quarterback? Drew Bledsoe.
True. Yeah.
And that's probably what's going to happen to Manziel if he doesn't get hurt or anything. If they just go through training camp they're going to have to go a long way to lose the job.
But Bledsoe did all the right things in camp to kind of say, okay, he is what we think he is, and let's go with him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but you don't declare him on day one. That never happens.
Right,
yeah.
Right. You, it's a process.
Right. But they're making such a big deal about it, almost like antagonizing the kid. You know, oh, you're third string. It's like, oh.
Minnesota, Fred, you psyched about that? Super Bowl 52?
I could care less, really.
Minnesota did get it, huh?
Yeah. Well, did you just take the last 2 days off?
No, I just...
Although, you know, I was telling somebody, in this, I'm not speaking out of school here, but, you know, they got the Super Bowl, they're building a stadium. I got an email from someone I know, the Vikings, got laid off. They're downsizing.
The Vikings?
Yesterday.
Wow. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Been there for 8 years.
Ooh.
So it's kind of weird, I thought.
Next thing you're going to tell me is he writes for the newspaper and does a radio show. Thanks, Fred.
So no one like that anyone would know. You know,
I'm sure it
was more like us.
They're not downsizing, like, you know, the coaching staff.
Right. But I thought that was kind of weird on a day of sort of celebration for Minnesota.
Yeah.
Stadium really looks cool.
Speaking of celebration.
It does look cool, but doesn't it kind of make you think that this really the whole bidding process? It's such a farce.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they get a new stadium. And,
well, the NFL sends a clear message. If you can get your city, state, whatever, or if you want to commit to building a stadium as an owner, we'll give you a Super Bowl. That's the message.
New Orleans had been previously 10 for 10
in
the bidding process. They had bid on Super Bowls, evidently, and I don't know this to be fact. It's just what I've read on the Twitter machine.
Right.
They had bid on the process 10 times and been awarded 10 Super Bowls.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, they're not a suitable.
It's a different landscape.
They're not a suitable Super Bowl environment.
The NFL is saying,
give it to Minnesota.
Make the effort to get a stadium, and we'll reward you. And I think it's their prerogative to do that. I do think it's a mighty huge hurdle these days to get a stadium built. And I think teams that do it, it's obviously good for the league if they do it, and they should be rewarded by the league if they can get it done.
And it does look, I agree with Eric, it does look like a...
It's fantastic.
Yeah.
Looks like
and
an
the one time
place.
They did hold one was in, what, the early 90s?
It was Buffalo, Dallas.
It was a
I think
blizzard.
A Buffalo, Dallas, or a Buffalo, Washington, one of those.
The commissioner was late for the game or something like that?
Yeah, because of the weather.
Tagliabue?
He probably just overslept.
Yeah, could be. And they have the danger of doing that. Now, Minnesota, or Minneapolis, is a nice little city.
Which we'll get to see this year.
Not
the stadium.
It's very similar to Indy in that you can walk it.
Oh, good.
But they have skywalks that go from building to building. So that's kind of cool. So it'll be a nice little
city. Out of all the trips that I've taken, I think I recall the least about that one.
Really?
I don't know why.
Yeah.
It was a Monday night game that we played there.
Oh,
the last time we played there.
Yeah, Chad Jackson had a good game there.
And I don't remember why. Actually. I just don't recall anything about anything around the city.
Well, I imagine.
I'm sure we went out. Like, we do the same thing every trip. Let's face it. We're not really all that adventurous. We go out. We find a place that's relatively close. Sometimes we eat fancy, but more often than not, we find a sports bar type place and we park it. And I don't remember anything about that trip at all. I don't know why.
I went to Morton's.
You went to Morton's in Minneapolis?
With the marketing.
With the marketing?
Never mind. Now, they have that Mall of America there, which probably the NFL will
Snoopy
use for some event
thing,
during the Super Bowl. That place is amazing. You guys been?
No.
Well, I think that's technically...
It's
in Bloomington,
it's unbelievable.
Right?
It's so big, they have a roller coaster in the mall. That's how big it is. So
that's the big Snoopy-themed one, right?
I guess. I don't know.
Because Charles Schulz was from that area.
Oh, is that right?
That's where he was born, raised. Yeah.
Yeah, it's quite a mall. So I'm sure that'll be part of the festivities. In 2018, is that the year?
What is it? Super Bowl 52 they got, right?
Yeah.
And this is 49 coming up.
2018. Yeah.
That makes sense. 49-52.
But New Orleans will get another one. You know, it's
of
not
course.
Like yeah,
yeah.
They'll always be in the mix.
You can pretty much guarantee twice a decade they're going to get one.
Yep.
Pretty much in the 5-year rotation they're going to get a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Them and probably South Florida, I would think.
In other NFL news, that's kind of a little closer to home, AFC East news. You know, the Bills have hired a consulting firm to kind of handle the sale of the team, and one of the law firms involved also represents Bon Jovi. So people in Buffalo are kind of interested
mm-hmm.
in that.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit of nugget.
I didn't know his son plays for Notre Dame.
I didn't either.
Saw that in the paper the other day.
Huh.
I don't know if he's just like a, you know, scout team body or whatever, but
I didn't know.
Yeah.
Probably Bill got him.
There was some fundraiser that he did with Brian Kelly, and I believe Belichick might have been involved.
Yeah, it was the Think Pink campaign. It was breast cancer awareness, and Brian Kelly's wife, I guess, is a 2-time survivor. She's had two bouts. And,
that's pretty much it then.
Mr. Kraft was there, and that's poor to me. Mr. Kraft was there, and John Bon Jovi, as Eric said, was there. And, yeah, I had not been aware of that either until I read that blurb in the paper yesterday.
Speaking of
that
sons,
his son
wonder what he played
for Notre Dame.
Ed Hockley's son will be an
probably
NFL
the guitar.
Ref this year.
Ed Hockley's son will be a ref.
He'll be, a linesman.
Can you imagine how big he's going to be?
Son of a gun.
Nice!
Son of a gun. Yeah.
I'll bet you he's huge. Imagine a young version of that.
Oh, boy.
Is he as long-winded, though?
Yeah. One can only imagine how long. Imagine him, like, getting married, like, doing his vows, people, like, falling asleep in the pews.
Yeah. The bride says she will take me.
Or the best man speech.
Yeah. There's no delay of game. We didn't let the team go because we were stretching our balls.
Forgot about that one. Forgot about that
balls.
One. Stretching out. Yeah. Stretching out balls.
Oh, God. So that's kind of some Patriots news, some NFL news. One other thing, the Patriots Facebook page gained 5 million likes as of last night, and they released a video, various people throughout the organization saying thank you, of which we were involved.
We were part of the video. Check it out. Check it out.
Tom
Check
Brady and Robert Kraft. And you got to see it just for the Julian Edelman piece, I think.
Yeah,
he stole the show.
He was really good. Yeah.
Yeah.
He was very good.
So that's on the Patriots Facebook page. 5 million
and,
likes.
And we teased earlier Hooman and his appearance earlier. The news that he kind of made was that the Patriots have a new tight end coach. I mean, it hasn't been made official by the team, but Brian Daboll, who was on the staff last year as a coaching assistant,
right,
very
offensive assistant,
vague
yeah.
title, is now the tight ends coach moving in to replace your guy, George Godfrey.
George Godfrey!
Who moved to Houston.
My nose is
to, to join Bill O'Brien's staff down there. But, the team hasn't made this announcement in a press release or anything.
No, we're moving toward having 53 players and, 8 or 10 coaches.
Yeah.
Right.
That's
right.
It.
Titles, nothing wrong with them.
Hey, nothing wrong with them.
So that was kind of the newsworthy thing that Hooman acknowledged that Brian Daboll has been doing a great job, he said, as the tight ends coach, and a little bit of a different style than Godsey. He compared, Godsey was a college quarterback for under O'Brien at Georgia Tech, and just more of an analytical kind of guy, maybe a little softer spoken, whatever, but that Daboll is very loud, in your face, excitable, but he's excited about
and
that.
And a very good friend of PFW.
Yes.
Yeah,
and the
one
other
of the
thing
few around here that's allowed to stay.
Yeah. The other thing I thought that was interesting about Hooman's talk today was that he's in this veteran role now and re-signing this offseason. He said there was nowhere else he wanted to be but here, and that he is so much more comfortable now in the offense, and that he's taking on a little bit of a leadership role, especially with some of the younger players and trying to help them learn this offense, which is very complicated. He said and. That now that he has had several years' experience, he feels more comfortable not only in the offense but in being more of a leader to some of these younger guys. And, you know, he's your number two tight end right now, mm-hmm. depth chart-wise, yep. behind Gronk. And there are several, or at least a couple of rookies who are in contention for
he's the number one on the field.
And right now he's number one on the field, yeah. But, I mean, you know, depth chart-wise, right. when all's yeah. said and done, yep. he's going to be the number two guy going into training camp, I would think. And, you know, he's made a lot of progress since he first got here, I think.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. Both, you know, off the field, on the field. Yep. And he's getting married next month in Hawaii.
Oh.
To a Hawaiian
Hawaii
lad. Okay. Lass.
Lass, lad. Doesn't no, matter. No. It's the NFL now.
No.
Is that okay? Is that
the
okay?
New NFL.
Is that okay in Hawaii? The yeah. new NFL. Is that okay in Hawaii?
Sure.
Is that one of the states?
Oh, I don't know. I'm
okay?
sure it is, yeah. So okay.
That was pretty much it.
Yep. Webradio at patriots.com is the email address. 508-298-0398 is the
big news.
Hotline.
5 million likes.
Yep. 855-PATS-500.
In all seriousness, check out the stuff on Patriots.com because there's some cool things for you guys if you're interested in that sort of thing. There's some promotions that we're taking part in. Eric put a blog post up this morning sort of looking at some of those. So check it out on Patriots.com. And in addition to the video, you can get it all in one place.
All in one place.
Yeah, and
all
I think one of the promotions is if you're a Facebook follower,
mm-hmm.
you're eligible for $550 push-up.
Yeah, one of 500.
Yeah. So 500 people
will win $50 gift cards to the Pro Shop.
That's pretty cool.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
And there's a promotional code. If you don't get that, there's a promotional code for you to get $5 off any $20 or more purchase through the Pro Shop's website.
Well, now's the time to buy your Revis jersey, I guess.
Dads and grads time.
Right.
Time of year. Let's, you know, yeah. get it done.
All right.
And subscribe to PFW while you're at it.
Right. Or
all you 5
Patriots
million.
Football. Daily. All right.
It's like we planned it, Paul.
Yeah.
Big Head is still in Disney World.
Thankfully.
Well, not Disney World doesn't think so.
No,
but
for us. Yeah.
So I hope there's an incident. I hope he gets into
what
it.
What kind
like,
of incident?
Gets into it with a character or something like that.
Punching out a character?
Well, he could be mistaken for one because his head is bigger than
Dumbo.
Some of these. Yeah.
Dumbo Hart.
There you go.
Some little kid like just tries to grab onto his head to take
right.
it off.
Yeah.
And he's like, what are you doing?
Yeah. Why? Well, Austin Powers, he's trying to yank the hair off.
So anything could happen down there. All right, so is that it? Should we get to
let's be listener-driven today.
Listener-driven?
Where do you want to take
Where do you
us?
Want to take the show? Steer the ship.
Okay, anything goes Thursday. So let's start off with, speaking of Buffalo, we were talking about them just a little bit ago. Andrew is calling from Buffalo. Hey, Andrew.
Hey, what's going on?
Mr. Excitement. Here he is.
Hey, I don't really have much to talk about, but...
Oh, that's good.
Thanks for calling.
Elaborate on the injuries of all the guys that we had that got injured last year, even including Easley, like all these guys that's coming back from these injuries. Do you think that more than half of them won't be they won't perform at a high level because of the ACL, you know, and the significant injury they have? Not Mayo, because I don't think Mayo had a real serious one, but Kelly, Wolfwart, Easley. Do you think those guys, one of the three, or maybe two of the three, would not be the same this year?
Yeah. So basically, your bottom line is, you know, we think we know what we're going to get from these guys coming back, but really, how certain can we be? You know, so how improved is the team going to be from where they were last year? It's hard to tell. I think Mayo's going to be fine. I don't know about Wolfwart. You know, because with his age and the type of injury and his size, that's going to be a tough one.
And it's hard to project all three of those guys.
Kelly's fine.
That he mentioned.
Just ask him.
Oh, well, yeah. How was that last year?
But Kelly, in Kelly's defense, he kept telling us he was fine before he tore his ACL.
Right, right.
Because he tore his ACL in practice.
Yeah.
And we never really talked to him again after that.
Yeah.
So I agree with Andrew. It's hard to necessarily know about those three guys. Because they're coming off significant injuries, and generally it's a different timetable for everybody. Now, I think they'll all be back in part of the equation, but how effective they are, we're going to have to wait to see what they do once they get on the field.
And the Vollmer one...
Vollmer, I think, will be okay, but he's always got something.
Right. So I kind of, like, don't worry about that one as much, because if he's not out there, they'll do what they did last year, you know, and they'll work around it.
What was his injury again?
Volmer broke his leg.
He broke his leg, like, really bad. I can still hear him on the field when that happened.
That was frightening.
Yeah.
I forgot to include Gronk, too. I mean, do you think he'd be the most, able to go back to what he used to be, being that he is younger? Or do you think...
No, there's just no way of knowing. There's just no way of knowing.
I'd like to think so, but...
I think he's the best player out of all of them.
Oh, clearly.
But that's, I mean, how much, it doesn't matter how good you are, how affected you are by a torn ACL. Like, ability doesn't really have anything to do with that.
Yeah. I mean, he didn't have the open field moves that, like, a Hernandez had. So, you know, cutting ability will be affected. You don't worry about that much, but it's a mental thing, too.
Plus, he was a very athletic tight end, and if he's lost a step as a result of this.
Right, if he can't beat his guy.
Yeah, that could be a big thing that Andrew's right about. I'm not trying to evade the question. I just find it impossible to project how good,
and I think Andrew's point
is, those guys
because
are.
Of it's so impossible to project, it's hard to say how much the Patriots will be improved this year.
Well, I do think that it's safe to say that those four guys playing, or those six guys playing, as opposed to not playing last year, is going to make you better. Even if they're not as good as they once were, they're going to make you better. You know, Vince Wilfork is better than Joe Valano and Chris Jones.
Yeah.
And Silver Salinga. Yeah. You know, even if he's, 70%, 80%.
Yeah.
You know, Rob Gronkowski is better than Michael Oumanawanui, even if he is not himself.
Yeah. Hey, Andrew, while we have you, any scuttlebutt up there about the Bills and the sale?
They're officially
and all that?
For sale, right?
Yep.
I don't really pay attention to them, to be honest.
Okay.
I can't stand still.
All right.
I'll talk to you guys next week, though, Tuesday. Thank you for taking my call.
All right. Thanks, Andrew.
Andrew,
appointment calling for Andrew, apparently. You know,
he wanted to get in for a good spot. He wanted to sign up quick and get a good tee time.
Yep. Let's go to a quick question from Mike, who's a disgruntled Houston Texans fan. He's making a trip to Boston in July and wants to come down to watch training camp, wondering when that might be. There's no official announcement yet, but you can always count on the last weekend in July they're being practiced. So if you're there before that, you're out of luck.
The other easy thing to do is we know the date of the first preseason game, which is almost always a Thursday. Subtract 2 weeks from that, and that's typically the start date for training camp.
Yeah. So.
Which is always pretty much the last week
of
July.
So if you're coming early or mid-July, you're going to be out of luck.
Right. But if you wait to that last week, it's generally like Eric said, like Thursday, Friday. But if you plan on coming to the weekend, that last weekend in July is almost always prime time to get here and see the team. There'll be big crowds those days and a lot of enthusiasm early on in camp. I always like to get if I were a fan and I wanted to come and see it, I would try to get there earlier rather than later once they get sort of bogged down with the monotony of training.
It's more
camp.
Exciting early. There's more people.
And I think that the players have a little bounce in their step when they first get out there and there's all the players, there's some enthusiasm and they're sort of, bouncing around. And then as they practice 7, 8, 9, 10 days, and then it's like, okay, I've had enough of this, and it's time to play some games.
Teo from California is on the line.
Anti?
What's
that?
It's Tayo.
Tayo.
As in Cruz?
As in what?
Cruz.
Tayo Cruz.
Oh, nah.
Okay.
You have no idea who he is, do you?
Yeah, so I've got a random question. Right now, the NBA playoffs are going on, and to me, the Spurs are basically like the Patriots of the NBA. And I just want to know who you guys think is a better coach in their sport, Belichick or Popovich, and also who's a better player in their sport, also Brady or Tim Duncan. And I'm taking Popovich over Belichick, and I'm taking Brady over Duncan. So, all right, guys. Thanks.
All right, thanks for the call.
Interesting question.
Interesting. I think Brady and Belichick.
My knee jerk would be what he said, what Tayo said. But it's hard to. There's a lot of similarity because they're two guys that have been with their organizations for a long time.
Yeah.
The
coach and the player.
The constant has been Duncan and Brady because they've been there throughout the tenure. just sustained success every single year, yeah. Never a down year, always a title contender.
Really good analogy.
Yeah, it's there's a lot of similarities there. And
are
also,
they saying in San Antonio, you know, the window's closing, we need to?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Is that what they're saying?
Yeah. Well, they're old.
Yeah, right.
If they're not saying it, they should be. Yeah. I mean, I'm not privy to talk radio in downtown San
Antonio. Not plugged in down there?
But I would say, I mean, I don't know. I don't think there's a wrong answer. I don't think there's a right or wrong answer.
I don't really follow the NBA at all.
I don't follow it enough to know how great a coach Popovich is.
A couple days ago, I did see Tim Duncan on, and I go, he's still playing?
I know. It does seem like he's been around for like 30 years,
right.
Doesn't it?
Yeah. Let's see. Mike writes in. Mike from L.A., just wanted to get your thoughts about Seahawks defensive coordinator Dan Quinn, his recent compliments about Dominic Easley. Quinn praised his speed, compares him to All-Pro Geno Atkins, and says Easley has the tools and mentality to succeed in this league. What are your expectations for Easley, and do you think the Seahawks traded out of the first round because Easley was no longer available? Well, that's the word.
That's the word. Yeah, that's the possibility. Yeah.
I have no idea.
Again, Will Fork, Gronk, Mayo, those guys, I am anxious to see this kid on the field and moving around. Yeah. I mean, it's impossible for us to make these sort of judgments when we haven't
He's not as big as Geno Atkins in terms of, he's not as thick. He's not as bulky as Atkins. But he does play like that. He's a penetrating, athletic, interior defensive lineman. I been saying it since they picked him. I like the pick a lot. I recognize the risk in terms of the two torn ACLs, but I think that's the way that you so. I think you need to get after people a little bit more. I mean, you're not going to be able to sit back nowadays. I think teams are too good. Passing games are too efficient to sit back and wait for the old, we'll make them convert four third downs, and sooner or later they won't convert one. Well, they will convert them.
Right.
Nowadays teams are converting close to 50% of those third downs, and I think it's a dangerous game to play, just letting teams drive up and down the field on you.
Alex from Maryland, I think we have settled our depth issues on the defensive line. However, I'm still very concerned with strong safety and tight end. With that in mind, what options do you see available at this time? Are there any free agents you see as potential fits aside from Dustin Keller? Any trade potential for either position, Deshaun Golston, Duke, how do you say his name?
Iheanacho.
Or Jermaine Gresham. What would it take to get one of those players to keep up the great work?
Gresham?
We want to trade for I understand that sometimes there are guys that are on the quote-unquote trading block, like Andre Johnson. There's a lot of talk about him, but you can't just assume that a guy's going to get traded if there's nothing about him. I do agree with the emailer that those are light positions right now in terms of depth. I would throw linebacker in there too. We should mention Mike Reese, close friend of the show, ESPN Boston, yesterday reported on four veteran tryouts.
Yep.
That's right.
And two of those were tight ends. One of them was Ben Hartsock. The other was Nate Bynum, I believe.
Bynum. There's no N.
Okay, Bynum. I might want to go into that story and correct my typo then, because I'm pretty sure I called him Bynum.
Oh.
And also two running backs, Ronnie Brown and Brian Leonard.
Ronnie Brown, I'm intrigued looked by, at before.
Yeah. They have, because he's been sort of on the fringes of looking for work a few times lately. The knee injuries completely ruined his career. He had that serious knee injuries early on, and it never was what he was supposed to be as a high pick. But the tight ends, to me, they make a lot of sense. They're still looking for some tight end depth, especially if they're not positive that Gronkowski is going to be ready to start the season. Both of those guys, Bynum and Hartsock, are considered more blockers. They're bigger guys, and they're not going to catch a lot of passes for you. So they're not guys that are going to come in and fill that void in terms of catching some passes from Tom Brady. But interesting to me that they're still looking, and until I see Dustin Keller sign somewhere else, I'm going to keep him open in the plans here in New England. So, yeah, I think tight end is a spot they need to bolster. Safety, I have no idea.
Yeah,
I have no idea what you do at that point.
They might very well think they've got the guy on the roster right now.
Well, my guess is that they're going to try to use just defensive backs.
Yeah.
And they'll play a cornerback at safety, and I don't like it.
Yep. Andrew from Watertown, is there anyone that could, if there's anyone that can crawl in the mind of a mad genius like Belichick, it would be you three. Sorry, Eric. Well, there's only three of us today. So please, can you explain to me why Bill took a quarterback in the second round? Year in and year out, we hear Bill say, we do what's best for the football team, but is drafting a quarterback in the second round that won't see the field in 3 years good for the football team now or years from now? I feel like Bill would want to improve this team. Dive into the massive cranium and please explain to me this Garoppolo pick. And Fred, what's our lad's take of this situation? Had Garoppolo going fourth overall, I bet. PFW in progress does indeed reach the masses of corporate office life. Last month, I was walking by an office with the door closed and in low volume, but clear as a bell, I heard, "Who's the pussy now?" You're right, Fred. Ronald Robinson does sound like a pussy. He
really
deserved
does.
To be doubled over. That's so funny.
Who's the pussy now?
I love that.
But it also shows noon is the time to do a live show on internet radio. Because that's people taking their breaks
right.
and they're sitting at their
exactly.
desk eating lunch. It's, you know.
Yeah, as long as you're in the Eastern time
that's
zone.
That's so funny. But, you know, going back to his question about Garoppolo, you know, I was thinking about it today. Because Albert Beer actually did a decent breakdown of teams that had really good quarterbacks and how they went about, you know, the succession of them. Some, mm-hmm. some you know, did it well and, you know, were successful and some weren't. You know, like the Bills, for example, with Jim Kelly. But so there's no right way to do it, wrong way to do it. But I'll tell you, as Bill said, you're better early on this type of situation than late.
He feels that way about every position.
Yeah.
Though, not just quarterback.
Right. But, you know, in this case with Tom Brady, you know, it's a little special. But I agree. I think it's better early. And I think you bring in a guy like Garoppolo, second-round pick. So you're yes, you are using up a second-round pick to bring in a guy that you hope won't see the field for a number of years. But it gives you time to look at him in practice. And mm-hmm. so then you can make a judgment after year one or two, okay, this guy can be the successor. And then after year one or two, if you realize, you know, he can't, I would use another second-round pick for a guy you really like. You know, I would keep doing it. And I wouldn't be afraid to use up these picks because, you know, it is in the best interest of your franchise. Maybe not this year, but going forward to get the right guy and to use up currency to get him. Even if Garoppolo after year one or two he's not going to be the guy. I don't think it's a waste to, you know, to take that chance. Mm. And I would do it again. And I would keep doing it until you find the guy.
Okay. I don't agree with you, as you know.
Okay.
And I think it's just probably because I think you're using words that are a little bit stronger than I'm comfortable with. So if he's not the guy, it's still okay. So what's the difference between that and wasting any other second round pick on a guy who's not the right guy?
No, because a lot of people with quarterback, you know, with a tight end, if you think he can play, there's a chance he can play right away. The problem that people have is you know Garoppolo's not going to play for 2 or 3 years.
No, but that's not the problem most people have. That's the problem I have.
I think that's the problem most people have.
But I think the problem most people have is they think that this guy isn't the guy to take over for Tom Brady. The problem people like I have.
No, but that's a different story. So
is that,
and that's fine. You can disagree with the pick, and that's a whole different argument, though. What people are talking about is do you waste a second round pick on any quarterback when you know he's not going to play for 3 years.
Well yeah, that's a different thing.
That's a separate argument.
That's a different thing.
Yeah.
The 3 years is a big part of it.
Well, but you're saying, though, that if you liked the pick, you would think it was a good idea
Not if I had to wait around for 3 years before he could play.
So even if you love the quarterback,
you wouldn't do it? No, and I told you that I wouldn't.
I think that's
folly. We talked about this before.
I find that folly.
But we
folly.
That's okay if you want to insult me. I don't care. You won't be the last.
I think quarterback is such an important position in the NFL.
Exactly.
Really,
so I don't want to pick one that I don't think is going to play for 3 years.
But if
it's too important a position,
you're also explaining
why I wouldn't do it.
But you're also picking a guy who, if he doesn't play in 3 years, you know he's the guy, though.
First of all, you can't wait. You can't have that knowledge. You keep using terms that are impossible. You can't possibly know that this guy's the guy. You can't know that.
No, but you're going to have you right now you think he is, and you're going to have a little time
right
to find out.
Right now you hope he is.
Right. Well, that's all
they
you
hoped
can do
Ryan Mallett was too.
And they hoped Aaron Rodgers would be, and they hoped Steve Young
exactly.
would be. So you can't
well,
be
Steve
certain.
Young was different. They didn't draft him.
I know.
They took a flyer on a guy who flamed out. That's a whole different
But he
situation.
Also had to sit on a bench
yeah, well,
for a while.
For nothing. He was a backup right. Jag who was on his third,
I'm just
third
saying,
organization.
You don't really know. No one ever knows. But I think that you have to trust your scouting department and your own instincts as Bill Belichick and say, if you think that, you know, because and this, it's all about timing, too, obviously. I wouldn't have done this 4 years ago. But now I think the time, and I said it before the draft, the time is now where if you think you've identified the guy, go get him. I think that's the time has started. That clock
yeah,
has started ticking.
See, but that's the part that I disagree with.
You don't think it's time.
No,
okay.
I don't. I
and
think he's
fine.
Got 4 years left on his contract. I think there's a very, very good chance.
Do you think he has 4 years of being an effective quarterback in the NFL?
Yes.
Okay.
Effective or yeah. a star? That's well, two different things. Can
yeah.
he be effective?
Can he
yeah.
win a championship?
For 4 more years?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. I mean, that's fine. That's
it would help if we didn't throw away a second round pick and we gave him a guy that might be able to help him.
Well,
that would help.
Yeah.
And that's part of the reason why I don't like it. And that's why I don't think that a lot of people feel the way I feel about this. I think I'm in the minority.
No, I think you're. I think you.
I
might
think
be,
the people that don't
I think
like
half the
this,
people might agree with you.
I think people that don't like this are talking about window and stuff like that. In addition to the player,
right?
Like to me, the 1AA part of this is huge.
Yeah,
this is not a guy with pedigree. This is not a. I can't pass this guy up.
Right.
Guy.
It's not Andrew Luck. Right.
It's not an. It's not the value was just too damn high. I couldn't pass it up.
Right.
This is a projection of all projections.
Yeah.
That's part. I mean. To me, they go hand in hand. It's you didn't really need a quarterback, and in my opinion, you stretched to get one. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yep.
Like if you didn't really need a quarterback, but Andrew Luck fell in your lap.
Okay.
Then all right, I can I could sort of see the value being too high.
But
Aaron Rodgers at 24.
But the
just too high. I couldn't pass
the
it up.
Other factor we have to bring into this besides someone being Brady's successor is they are going to need a backup probably next year.
Right.
So
get one next year.
To me, whoever that backup is should have the potential to be Brady's successor.
Okay. I don't think he ever has.
Because you're
not that close.
Then.
You weren't that close
to the end.
I'm not that close to the end now.
Okay.
I got news for you.
All right. I hope you're right, Paul.
I got 4 more years of this contract.
I hope you're right.
I can only take them at face value.
I don't care about contract.
Because everybody told me that contract that he renegotiated was a real contract. So I can only take them at their face okay. value.
All right. But,
so I think he's got four years
but
left.
But see, I'm
minimum.
Not, I don't care what the contract says. I care.
I do.
I care
That's
about.
It's a big part of this league.
I know.
You've been telling me for years that I'm wrong about the cap.
I care about what's going on in the field and how much. You know, realistically, Brady
so
can
you
last.
Think in 4 years there's a good chance that he will no longer be an effective quarterback?
Yes.
Really?
In 4 years? Absolutely.
So the last year of his contract, we're probably going to look to get out of that because he's no longer going to be effective.
Yeah, or we pay him.
And I'm the Brady hater.
It's not a matter of hating.
You don't think he's going to be effective in 4 years? Last show, you yelled at Eric for saying it's been a decline in his play.
4 years is a
You are so hypocritical, it's ridiculous.
When you're 37, 4 years is a long time,
yeah.
And a lot can happen. And I think you need to be prepared for it. That's all I'm saying.
Why do you have to be prepared 3 years in advance
because
of the fourth year?
You want to make sure the guy is the guy. You know, so now this gives them the
and
time.
And again, you can't be.
Well,
so you got to stop doing that.
I know you can't be 100%, but you can, to the best of your ability, you can be.
And you know another thing that I want to say? Stop. Denver. Brock Osweiler.
Well,
this is not the same thing.
Yeah.
Yes, they used a second round pick. Their starting quarterback at the time, his career was hanging by literally a thread.
And this is the year that Manning's going to fall off the cliff. So they're going
to
need him.
I'm not even trying to be Fred like, you know, sarcastic.
I'm telling you.
What I'm saying is, when they drafted Brock Osweiler,
they had no idea what they were getting out of Manning.
Right.
None.
No. Yeah.
And you can't even admit that Brady has declined in the last few years.
I don't think he has that much.
Well, the other day you said he hadn't. Now, because it suits your argument for today, hasn't been that much.
I think he's good for
We need Andy.
I think he's good for at least 2 more years.
Listen, he might be. He might be done in 2 years. I would want to be damn well sure that I don't think he can be effective anymore before I pull the plug on Tom Brady.
I'm gonna
extract every ounce of that career that I can possibly have.
I am too.
I'm ready to move on.
Me too. You know, but the thing is, you know, in that fourth year, he's going to be 41, and that's
40.
Well, he's going to be
37
this year.
Start of the year.
Yeah, this year.
Right.
Yeah.
So you do the math.
37, 38, 39,
40.
Okay, so he'll be 40. But that's rare. That's rare.
And it's becoming more and more common. These guys are playing longer. They have better training, better everything else,
right.
Better program. I mean, it's not. I mean, you're going to try to tell me that it's not likely that he'll be a viable quarterback in 3 years? Not likely. I mean, I know you said that you think in, you know, probably 2 years you're going to be looking to move on, and that's fine.
Yep.
But you can tell me it's unlikely that he'll be able to do 3 or 4.
No, I think
if you want to go beyond that, okay, that's
yeah.
Now we're getting into the 40s. That's a once in a lifetime fluke. Okay, but based on what I've seen so far from him and Manning, by the way, and Manning is older with a lot more mileage on the tires with that neck problem, I just don't see guys that look like. In a year or two, those teams are going to have to get out from under because they're going to need new quarterbacks. Right. They just don't look that way to me.
Well, I just think, you know, I think now I
mean, for all of my criticism of Brady, I mean, damn, now, the guy has done a lot of winning.
I believe the clock is ticking now. Now's
of course
the time
it's
when
ticking.
You identify a guy that you really like. Now's the time to get him. If it turns out he's not who you thought he was, you still have time to keep looking. And I say you stay aggressive. Looking for a quarterback until you find one. You know, don't wait until it's too late. You know, unless you're willing to have those down years, which Belichick isn't willing to do, and God bless him for that. You know?
I'm with you, Brett. I don't mind the Garoppolo pick at all. If they really like this kid and think he's the next one and he was available, why not?
Yeah,
at this point,
the liking,
you know, not like 10 years ago.
Yeah,
or 5 years ago.
The liking, not liking, is not really a huge part. I mean, like, I don't have any problem with the philosophy. I just don't think that they needed to do it now. That's all.
All right.
And well, I would, you have to give me. This is not about what they did in the draft. We talked about this for a year in terms of, you know, when they needed to identify the guy and. You know, when they needed to pull the plug. And I keep telling you that I think that the game has changed a little bit, and I think that there are viable starting quarterbacks that are becoming available in switching teams now. Not guys that are Tom Brady.
Right.
Not guys that
are... But guys you can win with.
But guys that you can win. Alex Smith, you can win with him. You can win games with him while you're sort of drafting. I mean, what would be wrong with having a guy, you know, some veteran starter who has a track record of some winning... And then you draft Jimmy Garoppolo. So then 2 years, you have him as the transition guy, and now Garoppolo's ready to take over. That's kind of how I would go about it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you are saying, and you might be right, and Belichick might be right. God knows he's been right an awful lot over the last 14 years. You guys might be right. They may have identified the guy that they think is the guy. And if he turns out to be the guy,
good
more power to them. They nailed it.
All right. A lot of emails coming in on this subject and others.
Great appearance by him in the Facebook video.
Phones are lighting up. So let's take a quick break. Food's here. We'll get that out of the way, and then we'll go express to 2 o'clock.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go.
Go. That's it. Come on. Kick it into hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call ** NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, And before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or Tri-Corner Hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie. Three Super Bowl championships. AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years. The first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots. Our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
We're NRG, and we're a new kind of energy company. One that's hard at work making the most of renewable sources of energy. One whose solar energy is helping power football stadiums across the country. One that's developing new technologies that can one day turn your home into its own source of power and put you in charge of how you use it. We're putting that power into your hands. NRG, the power to change life.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
We're NRG, and we're a new kind of energy company. One that's hard at work making the most of renewable sources of energy. One whose solar energy is helping power football stadiums across the country. One that's developing new technologies that can one day turn your home into its own source of power and put you in charge of how you use it. We're putting that power into your hands. NRG, the power to change life.
And now, story time with Fred Kirsch.
This is at St. Thomas the Apostle School in New Jersey. Ronald Robinson.
Good Catholic school.
He came back to
Ronald
class.
Ronald Robinson.
Was it a fight or were you being
No, what bored? Happens was, we would always have, there was always two groups. One group played keep away, or back then we called smear the queer. Which
yep, me too.
Which you couldn't call
today.
We
played.
And then the other group would play football.
Probably shouldn't say
it. Yeah, one group was play football. So one time I was in the group playing keep away, and Ronald Robinson in the football said, oh, you guys are pussies playing that game.
I guess we're just going to say everything today.
So then.
It's realism.
So then a couple weeks ago, it was opposite. We were the ones playing football, and they were playing keep away. And I said to them, oh, who's the pussy now? So Ronald Robinson, who was tall at that time, but thin, came, you know, we're like, you know, chest to chest. He's like, say that again. I'm like, who's the pussy now? and he punched me in the jaw. You know, and I remember, I can remember this like it was yesterday. I remember thinking,
obviously.
Boy, you know what? That didn't really hurt that much. And if I attacked
So
him,
he was a pussy.
Yeah.
Wait, you just because he said it twice doesn't mean he was okay.
And now. I was thinking to myself, if I attacked him right now, and I kept myself from doing it, and I shouldn't have.
Possible
I did the same thing to Richie Campanella. I dared him to say something, and he
Names
did it. And I socked him in the stomach and doubled him over.
That was Story Time with Fred Kirsch.
All right, we got to track down Ronald Robinson. Wouldn't that be
somebody,
fun?
Yeah, somebody out there must know him.
Yeah.
Get him to call in.
Yep. This is back in New Jersey, so
So we got a lot of listeners all over the place.
Yeah. All right. We're talking, and this is a good subject. Paul said during the break, boy, I'm glad this subject came up because, you know, it's a slow time of the year, but this is an important subject. This is one of those things that, you know, you pay your GM, in this case, Bill Belichick, to start thinking about.
And I just want to
be prepared for.
I just want to state, I don't think this was a horrible move or anything like that. It's just, I disagreed with it. That's all.
Yeah, you think a little too soon, not needed.
I think it's too soon. And
they could have had somebody in the second round that really could have helped now.
Where I philosophically differ from you guys and from evidently from Bill is I didn't necessarily see the grand importance of having that guy now.
Yeah.
That's all.
I mean, I hear all these people, oh, you know, when Brady's gone, that's it. They're done. And it doesn't have to be that way. It really doesn't. You know, it might happen. There's a distinct possibility that it might happen, but it doesn't have to happen. And I think that, you know, you owe it to the fans to try to make sure it doesn't. I really think so. So let's go to some of the calls. I think the Belarco is calling from Los Angeles. He wants to talk about tight ends. Hey, Belarco.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good.
I wanted to ask regarding, like, the Titans that visited yesterday and, like, some of the Titans that have been signed after the draft. I was wondering that since Gronk is injured, we would get, like, more, like, pass-catching type of Titans, but we are getting, like, more blocking type of Titans. So is there, like, a scarcity in the market for, like, pass-catching Titans, or is it just that we are completely changing the strategy of how we use Titans?
No, I think it's a good point. It's hard to find those really good pass-catching tight ends. But, you know, if maybe Dustin Keller ends up being signed. Who knows? And he would be in that umbrella.
It's even harder to find guys who can do both.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. That's why Gronk is so elite.
Yeah, well, the guys that catch passes.
He does both, and he does them the best. Yeah.
But
you know?
You're right, Fred. The guys that catch passes, they're the ones that make money.
Right.
So if you're looking for just a guy to sort of fill in for Gronk, you're probably not going to spend a lot of money to get it because you know it's coming back, or at least you hope, and that's your plan. Certainly, if you're going to draft the guy, that would be a different story because you can go out and get a Jason Morrow and, you know,
right.
Put, you know, have him on your team for the foreseeable future. But they weren't able to do that, and they went a different direction. So we'll have to see. But I don't think it's Polacco. I don't think it's any indication that they've changed what they want to do. I think that when Gronk is healthy and available, that allows him to do things that, quite frankly, other tight ends can't do. And I don't care if it's a pass-catching guy or just a run-blocking guy. They need some more depth at the position, and either way, I'm fine with it, whether it's a blocker or a receiver.
Right, because even a guy like Keller, he's probably a little faster than Gronkowski, but you can take him out of the game if you really want to. Gronk, man, you can't. You just can't do it. If he wants his catches, he's going to get them.
Yeah, when he's at full strength,
yeah.
He's unguardable.
Yep. All right, Belarco, thanks for the call. Let's go to Juan in Florida. Hey, Juan.
Hey, how you guys doing today?
We're doing well.
What's
how
up,
about
Juan?
You?
Good. I want to go back on a topic you guys were talking about. I don't believe it was a bad idea to draft their quarterback, and also I don't see any decline in Brady. He can actually, if he wanted to, play for 5 more years. It wasn't his fault last year that a lot of the rookies were dropping passes and he had nobody to throw it to but Edelman.
Yeah, it wasn't his fault when he was missing wide open receivers. Right?
What game are you talking about? The Broncos game?
No, I'm talking about the entire season. He was missing wide open guys the entire season.
4 or 5 times.
Several times. Right? I mean, that's one of the things I keep track of for the newspaper is his incompletions. Yeah. I pay close attention to those than most people.
Was he worse this year than any other year?
Yes.
Really? I thought he was down last year. But the receiving, I think, you know, Juan makes a very good point. That had to go hand in hand. Now, was that responsible for every miss like Eric's talking about? No, he missed guys too. But Juan, I'm a little curious. You said you didn't think the quarterback was a bad pick, but that you also think that Brady is going to be fine for 5 years.
Yeah, because that way he can learn after.
Well, in 4 years he'll be gone.
Rookies only get four-year contracts.
Unless they do the option on him, and then they'd have to pay
him. That's only for first-round picks.
Oh, so then they can renew
him. They'd have to re-sign him.
Yeah. So he's not definitely gone.
Well, I'm saying his contract would be up, and why would he want to re-sign here?
Yeah.
If he doesn't get a chance to play. Like, do you think Mallett will re-sign here?
Not unless they pay him.
And you're
I don't think there's anything you could pay him that would get him to re-sign here.
And your premise that he'd be good for 5 years means that Brady would have to sign an extension, meaning he'd be here longer.
Right. So.
Yeah, if he wanted to play five, he could, but I think he's going to play out his contract, and then they're probably looking at bringing Garoppolo and doing his job after he leaves.
Might even be sooner than that.
Let's hope it works out that way.
I hope it works out that way, but it might be sooner.
All right, Juan, thanks for the call. Chris with a T-I-A-N is on the line. And, Christian, I just have to thank you for that photo that you sent me on Twitter.
You're very welcome.
That was unbelievable.
Yeah, why didn't I get it?
Sorry, I realized after I...
Yeah, thanks.
Sent it.
Whatever.
Yeah, I didn't get it either. What are you talking... Which one?
Fred just retweeted the...
Yeah, it's
it was meant for it was in regards to the Godzilla comment and Andy's infatuation with Kate up the upper region.
Yeah, it's definitely. Whew, I think she might have had some work done actually.
Yeah, it looks like it. They look pretty
perfect.
Wide. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I'll retreat to you guys. Sorry, Paul. Sorry, Eric.
You're forgiven. That's all right. Don't let it happen again.
So what do you got, Christian?
Hold on. Sort of a depressing but realistic discussion about the whole Garoppolo pick. Depressing in the fact that, you know, you got to face the reality that Brady's time is almost up here, and also exciting in that, you know, what does the future hold, and what is the team going to look like
with another
guy in there? And, you know, having had a little bit of time to digest the pick, and you always hear the two most important things that Belichick values in a quarterback is decision making and accuracy, and, you know, above all else, it's those two. And there must be something in Garoppolo that they've seen that they like. And to the point about Brady, there's got to be something that they see in Brady that they maybe he's only got 2 years left, 3 years left. That's the only way I'm making sense of this pick.
Right?
Is that they see something? Bill sees something on film. Yeah. You know, certainly the wide receivers were, you know, didn't help last year. But maybe Bill sees it as that, you know, Brady, what, didn't help either because he's not the same player he used to be. I don't know. But to pick a QB that high, and that's got to lead me to believe that they think that the end is sooner than later. I don't know what you guys think. I mean, like everybody else, I want them to surround Brady with as much talent as possible and win one, two, as many as he can more. But I just think that's how the organization views it.
I agree. I want them to surround him with talent and try to get one more. I just don't know if they're going to be able to do that for 4 more years. And I don't know if he's going to be good enough in 4 years to be able to do that.
I don't know. I mean, you
he might, but I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, you brought up the point the other day about the steady decline. And you'd be crazy to think that Tom Brady's the same quarterback in 2013 as he was in 2010. He's not. He's not. Sorry, he's not the same QB. And whether that's, you know...
Well, today Fred agrees with you. On Tuesday, he didn't.
No, I don't. I think he's pretty much similar. I don't see that much of a decline. I really don't. I don't. Now, but the odds are it's going to come. I'm not... You know, I'm not stupid. You know,
The other thing is he's a better quarterback now than he ever was.
He's
mentally.
A smarter quarterback.
Right. He's a smarter, better quarterback that way, but he can't necessarily make all the throws that he used to be able to make.
See,
but now the question you have to ask is, does that sort of level it out? Is physically, is he not there all the way, but mentally, is that enough to still make him upper echelon? You know what I mean? Elite. And I don't know. I mean, I'm
still better than most quarterbacks.
Yeah, I certainly think he's still in the elite.
He still is.
See, I think him not making those throws is more mental than it is physical. It's not because he lacks the physical ability that he used to have. I think it's all this, I don't trust this guy, and he didn't run the right route last play, and all that crap. And then when a guy comes open, he's not ready for it. I think it's mental. I really do.
That might be part of it, maybe. But I think that's part of the throws that he's missed, to me, are throws that he's never been good at. And I know that I'm in the minority on that. I don't think he ever threw a good deep ball. I think throwing a bunch of balls up for grabs for Randy Moss and having him catch a lot of them doesn't mean that he suddenly was a good deep thrower that year. I think in general, he struggles with the deep ball. I think his strength is timing and accuracy underneath. He always knows the coverage. He always knows where to get the ball quickly, and he knows how to move the chains. And that's what that's all Peyton Manning did all last year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
Peyton Manning can't throw the ball downfield either.
Yep.
But yet he had the best year of his career, by far.
Yeah, he did. I mean, aside from the Super Bowl, he was brilliant in the AFC Championship game.
Yeah, the physical stuff doesn't bother me with Brady because I don't think that physically he was ever the most gifted. Mentally, if you're right, Fred, then maybe you guys are right. Maybe it's going to be 2 years. To me, if it's anything more than 2 years from now, then I don't like the pick. If Brady plays two more years and then Garoppolo takes over in year three, they nailed it. They nailed it. But if he's able to play three more years, then I think that they could have done better in the here and now. Okay. Hell, listen, the way that data lock usually runs, Garoppolo won't play for 4 years. They'll win two more titles. Brady will walk into the sunset, and this guy will just take over, and everybody will be happy.
That would be great.
Everything works off the Patriots.
There you go.
All right, Christian.
All right.
Since they hired me.
Thanks for the call. Nat in Santa Cruz, California. Way too much is being made of Garoppolo as a successor to Tom Brady and whether or not it is worth a second-round pick. Garoppolo is not being drafted as a successor. He is being drafted as a capable backup.
Well, then that's a horrific pick, then.
If you don't draft
If Brady goes down for a game or three, but not the whole season, we need a guy who can give us a chance to win until Brady comes back because that can be the difference between home field advantage or going to Denver in January. Garoppolo was drafted to be Mallett's successor, not Brady's. Belichick knows that a great backup can save a season. Besides, if you watch Brady play, he looks like a guy with four or five strong years left. I feel if they were drafting a successor solely, they would have taken Derek Carr in round one. Also, last week I called you guys angry New Englanders. The word I was looking for was spirited.
Yeah, I don't have a huge problem with the pick, but if it's for that reason, then I change my tune.
That's not.
I think that's a horrific pick if you just drafted a guy to back up Brady.
I agree, Paul.
I didn't really like the Ryan Mallett pick because I thought that was too high.
I didn't like the pick because I didn't think he was that good a quarterback.
You know, I don't Mallett. Think that you need to be worrying about the
successor. See, I look at Mallett as, okay, let's give him some, you know, get him in there, let him practice, let him learn, and then turn him into draft picks.
Well, what I also thought about Mallett on the positive side, I agree with Eric, I didn't love the player. But what I did like about the idea of making that pick was there was no doubting that he had physical ability that was commensurate to being drafted higher than that. He was in the third round for his off-field stuff, and the Patriots, I think, took a shot and said, you know, this is a guy that probably in most occasions wouldn't be around at 60, 70, whatever. I think it was like 12 picks later, so 74. I think there was 12 picks between Garoppolo and Mallett. There's only a difference of 12 picks. It was an early third-round pick as opposed to a late second. I think they just looked at it as that proverbial, we can't pass this up. There's skills here. And I don't think they necessarily looked at it as targeting Ryan Mallett that draft. I think he fell into their laps. But at the same time, I didn't love that pick either because I think you can get, especially when you're a really good team, you're not drafting guys to come in and fill these huge roles. You're looking for a little piece here and there, especially a guy like Belichick that has been so good at identifying players to fill these small, seemingly small roles that turn out to be very important roles. Yeah. And I think in the second and third round, you can find guys like that. Hell, even in the fourth round.
What would you say, like, if Garoppolo came in, got his preseason action, and did everything right, goes out there, lights it up in preseason, all the reports are that he's exemplary player, practices well, would you, as another team, give up a first-round pick for him next year for Garoppolo? If all the reports are glowing this year?
Me? No.
I wouldn't
give up a first-round pick unless he did something in the regular
preseason. Yeah,
preseason
doesn't really
I'd
be encouraged if I
were the
Patriots.
If he plays a game or two and he does great, then I would be interested if I were another team.
Yeah.
Matt Castle went 11-5.
Right.
Got a second-round pick if we threw Mike Vrabel in.
Right.
That's true.
Yeah. So, I'm sorry. I'm not just giving a guy because he had a good practice.
But the starting point for Garoppolo was a second-round draft pick. The starting point for Matt Castle was he never even played in college.
But he played
in the
NFL.
The starting point for Matt Castle was much higher than Garoppolo because he went 10-5.
But you know how these GMs are. It's all projection. It's, you know.
I'm just telling you, he proved that he could have success in the league. Mm-hmm. And then, by the way, he went to another team and had success with that team in the first year. Then he fell apart.
Let's see. Adam,
nice guy, though.
Adam in Dublin.
One of our favorites.
I'm working this afternoon, so I'll listen to the podcast later. Just a quick note to your demographic discussion from last week. I'm not a whip-smart engineer like some of the other guys, but I am employed working as a sports reporter for a national newspaper here in Ireland, as well as running a rugby website. Anyway, I digress. My question to you all is, would you like to see Garoppolo get more game time in preseason and at the tail end of blowouts, if there are any this season, so we can get used to the backdrop of playing in front of 60,000-plus crowds? His college tape suggests he didn't play in many big venues or wild atmosphere, so I imagine acclimating to that type of environment will have to form part of his development. Mallett was obviously used to playing in front of big crowds when he got here, and I'm just wondering how much of a difference that can make for players coming out of smaller schools. That's a good point. Because he really didn't play.
He didn't play in front of huge crowds.
No, he didn't, but I'm not overly.
But I'm not worried about it.
And I don't need to see him do anything. Like I said, practice doesn't really do it for me. I understand that he needs. Listen, if he's not doing well in that setting, then you're really in trouble.
I will say this, though. Like I said, when I first got to talk to him, it was a week or so ago. Very wide-eyed right now. And I'd like to see him get over that, you know, that initial novelty of being an NFL player, being in the same locker room as Tom Brady and all that stuff. He did come across as very just like overwhelmed in a good, you know, in a good way, but just starry-eyed. And when you're on the field in a game, you got to put that aside.
Yeah, and I understand the point, you know, he probably could use some experience playing on the big stage, but nothing's going to replace being in the regular season. And mop-up duty doesn't do that.
No.
That's not going to settle his nerves if he's out there taking a knee or handing the ball off at the tail end of a blowout.
Dan writes in, so Big Head's in Disney. I could just picture him ruining all the kids' good times, raising pointless logistics questions. How do we know this is really the happiest place on Earth? Have we tested the enjoyment levels at Six Flags or Universal? What about theme parks in foreign countries?
Who is this?
If it's really the happiest place, why are all the strip clubs outside of the park?
Who is this emailing?
Dan.
Dan, what a brilliant email.
Yeah.
Because that's Andy in a nutshell.
Yeah.
Just questioning everything.
Right. Well, who says?
Yeah. Anyway, on the Jimmy Garoppolo pick, I really want to avoid sounding like a hater. My problem is based on my understanding of second-round contracts. I see only a few lines of thought behind the pick. Either the team does not plan on Brady finishing out his contract, they only consider Garoppolo to be a backup, or they are so convinced that he is the heir that they are willing to give him a second contract, having most likely not played a meaningful down of football in 4 years, assuming Brady remains healthy. Please tell me if I'm overthinking this, but ironically, I'd feel better if they took him in the first round given the option year. Hmm. Yeah, I think after year two or three, if you really like him, you'd extend him at that point.
Yeah,
be year three, but I don't think that's easy to do. If he's just sitting around, I don't know why he would want to just sign a contract when he can go somewhere else and know he's going to play as opposed to waiting for Brady to finish.
Nick in Illinois, ever since we drafted Jimmy Garoppolo and started to have the backup QB discussion, something has been bothering me. You all keep saying that Mallett should stay on the team as he is the more experienced backup and has spent more time in the system. I didn't say that. Did you say that?
I think we said that that's what we think will happen.
Right.
I think that they will keep three quarterbacks this year.
Nick is saying, that makes sense, I guess. But my main argument is, who cares? Seriously, if TB12 goes down, does anyone really care if Mallett or Garoppolo steps in to finish the game and possibly, but hopefully not make a few starts? If everyone thought Mallett was a Matt Hasselbeck type and could win a few games, that's one thing. But everyone is pretty agreed that he isn't, and I don't see a reason to have two roster spots dedicated to backup QBs. It's not like I have hope in the season if something happens to Brady. Paul can be the backup quarterback for all I care. Although I didn't understand the concern in other years either. I just don't have a problem with Jimmy being the sole backup. Sorry for the rambling email. I just found it a bit annoying.
I disagree a little bit. Eric, I'll help you out because I see you're in the middle of eating.
Thank you.
I the premise, the overall premise, I'm 100% with. I think that if Brady goes down, I don't really care who takes over. But I think you'd be hard-pressed to say right now, today, that Mallett would give you the better chance to win in the scenario that you unfolded there than Garoppolo. Who's to say if you played a three-game stretch of, you know, I don't know, Jacksonville, Oakland, you know, right. maybe Miami, you couldn't go 2-1 in that stretch with Ryan Mallett quarterback? I think you could.
Yeah.
I think you could, but I'm not sure you could with Garoppolo today.
Right.
I think Garoppolo could be the better quarterback, but he's probably not ready to do that right now.
And I think we looked at it.
Maybe 6 months from now.
Yeah.
Maybe.
I think we looked at it. Isn't the norm, I don't think it happened every time, but when they get that first-year quarterback, they've had three on the roster at least.
No, Hoyer was a rookie when
Brian
he backed
Hoyer was a rookie.
Brady
back.
Yeah, but they started with
no, from the get go.
They had with Brady and Hoyer.
And Hoyer, and he was a rookie.
And then when they drafted Mallett, they had three.
They had more than two in training camp that year.
Right,
but when final cuts were made, it was Brady, Hoyer.
Right, but isn't Hoyer the exception?
He might be the exception, yeah. But
yeah, well, I think that they've had three quarterbacks on the roster more than they've had two. But lately, it's been two.
Yeah. And they're not the only team to do that either. It seems to be a league-wide trend.
I actually think it's a smart one because I do agree. I think the third quarterback largely is a waste of a roster spot.
No.
I think if you lose a quarterback, you can always sign a guy to be your backup.
Or you have and one on the practice squad.
And if you end up three deep, you're in trouble. You know, right. I mean, this whole thing of, oh, you got to have it's funny because when they don't take the starters out at the end of blowouts, they always tell us, you can't back up everybody, but yet we have to construct our roster with every doomsday scenario in mind.
Steve in Killeen, Texas. First, I get Paul's argument of getting value now instead of doing the future trading and hoping that the guy, in this case Garoppolo, will be the guy you believe him to be. From my point of view, I see this as a workhorse versus a thoroughbred argument. We all know what we have in Brady, and we've been spoiled by it. But given the complex nature of the Patriots' offense, if Garoppolo has 2 years to learn the system and become the workhorse that has the ability to win, I think the second-round pick will become the Wonka golden ticket.
If Garoppolo is the starting quarterback in 3 years, then I will be much, much happier about this pick. Much happier.
For now,
about the pick, not about the whole scenario, because I don't think Garoppolo will be as good as Brady, and
right.
I don't think your team will be as good.
For now, I know all any of us can do is wait and see. 13-3, I was never worried about this team, to quote Fred, keep up the outstanding job.
Did you sniff, or was there a sniff in the email?
No, there was a sniff in there. Sniff in there.
Good job.
Peter in Maryland.
Peter.
We all have to remember that football is big business in that the purpose of business is to increase revenue and sustain them. I look at the pick of Jimmy Garoppolo as an investment that may or may not pay off, but as Bill said, which I heard as him wearing his GM hat, it's better to make such an investment pick sooner rather than later. Time will tell if this investment is a good one or not, but an investment is necessary.
Why? Why is it better to do that earlier rather than later?
Because of
isn't it ultimately going to come down to whether or not Jimmy Garoppolo can play?
Right. But
so why is it better to have him early than later? But, if he's good, why does it have to be here earlier?
But you don't draft him if you don't think he can play. Obviously, they think he can play.
No, but they don't draft anybody that they don't think can play.
But you know the situation here.
But
the second round, and you have Brady on the roster.
Right. So why is it better to have it earlier? Exactly my point. That's the second time you've made my argument articulately.
Because the window's getting closer to the end, and if, as I've said repeatedly since the end of last season, if you see the guy, now's the time to grab him. If you really like him, if they're just doing this on a whim, Paul, I'm with you. Then it's a waste of pick. But I'm assuming.
So then forget about all the other stuff. This is just about Garoppolo. Don't give me all the other sideshow crap.
But
it's
why
not
now?
About earlier
why
rather
now?
Than
the question
because
is,
it's Garoppolo,
right?
And I'm okay if that's what
and
it
that's
is.
What I said.
I'm okay with it.
Right.
That's
what I said.
Do you understand what I'm saying? Stop telling me about you need a backup for Brady. Stop telling me about the window right. and the decline.
And they're not
just gonna, tell me you right. like Jimmy Garoppolo, but and I'm okay
but
with
they're,
it.
They're hesitant, and you know the way they are.
Belichick, I'm not talking about the Patriots. I'm talking about you. I'm talking about Eric. Well,
but,
I'm talking about our listeners
right now.
But Belichick's
never going to come out and
no,
say, you
he
know,
can't.
We believe this guy is
no,
the guy. They'll never do that.
Fred, he can't.
But they might.
But I'm
feel
talking
that
about
way.
The arguments that are being made to me are very A, superficial, and B, all encompassing.
But that's
you can't
why
have
I
it
would
both
do
ways.
It. That's why it's either, I would do it.
You can't say that if he was drafted as the backup to Brady, I'm okay with that. But yet say this is because they thought Jimmy Garoppolo, they identified him. Those two things are not the same.
But that's what I've been saying, and I said it before the draft. If they see a guy that they really think is that good, the clock is ticking now to start taking that guy. And I said that before the draft.
Yeah,
so
see,
I can't go against this pick. I'm assuming
I'm not
that
saying,
they feel that way
Fred,
about it.
I'm not trying to change your mind, and I'm not trying to say that your logic is flawed. It's not. You have been, as much as I tease you, you have been quite consistent on this argument. You said it before they picked a quarterback.
Right.
And you even liked the particular quarterback.
That's correct.
Before it
With
was fashionable.
No inside knowledge, by the way.
Before it was fashionable to like him.
Right.
In other words, before the Patriots drafted him, you already liked him.
Right.
Because now everybody in New England's in love with him because right. the Patriots took him.
Right.
Okay? So I think you have been very consistent on this. What I'm saying is if this just came down to they just like this guy and think that he's the guy, they've identified this particular guy as the guy, then I don't want to hear any of the other stuff because
okay.
none of the other stuff matters.
That's true. Yep. Yep.
I personally think if you liked this guy so much, it wasn't worth it because he's not going to play for 4 years.
Yep.
That's where I would philosophically differ from you.
I mean,
doesn't make either one of us right.
Unless, you know,
came back in empty-handed.
Unless Belichick is as cold as, you know, we think it is when it comes to business, and he's looking at 2 years down the road, Brady is currency. I'm gonna move him.
And listen, and you can't tell me that if you don't sense much of a decline now, and you similarly don't sense much of a decline after 2 years, I want to hear nothing but fire and brimstone out of you if that happens.
I'm assuming that 2 years from now you will, and he will, and maybe and
so
and maybe in his
magic,
mind
magic it's 37. That's
maybe,
it.
Maybe in his mind
that's
he's
it.
Already seen it as you guys have. I mean, maybe he's as smart as you guys are.
Wait a minute.
Jeez. Now you're being.
I have seen a decline in play. I haven't seen a he needs to go in 2 years. Decline
yes,
in
that's
play.
Not what I was.
That's
saying.
That's not the same thing.
That's not.
I already on this show said he's still playing at an elite level.
Right.
Is that right or wrong?
Except in the playoffs.
Well, you know, that's when you know what happens though in the playoffs. You're playing
play
against,
better teams.
You're playing against other teams
sure.
that are playing at an elite level.
James and Malden, we get to Paul. Will you still hate Garoppolo pick if? We get to training camp and he looks awesome, undeniably good, much better than anyone thought. Do you still dislike the pick, or do you say, okay, fine, I see why the Patriots invested a second?
I will dislike the pick unless he is playing within 3 years. So I'll give Brady 2 more years as a starter. In year 3, I want Garoppolo playing. Otherwise, I don't like the pick.
Robin in Alaska, I love acquiring.
And obviously, if Garoppolo deserves to be the starter in 3, if you're just saying, well, you know, we're getting rid of Brady because it's better to be early rather than late. I won't like that. If Brady's still playing at a high level and we just kick his ass out of town, I won't be happy with that.
Robin in Alaska, I love acquiring young whippersnappers to nip at old man Brady's heels, whether they unseat him eventually or not. If that means the Patriots take a QB earlier in the draft to do this, then I'm all for them doing it and doing it. Okay.
I'm all for them doing it and doing it.
Yep.
All right, then. Any truth to the rumor that Garoppolo told Mr. Kraft this is the greatest draft pick he's ever made?
See what he
or
did
should
there?
We just have another hypocritical story that we'll
hypocritical?
Apocryphal.
A little hypocritical and apocryphal.
That's a little Andy-like right there.
James says, Paul, who would you have rather the Patriots take? There were no good safeties or linebackers on the board. The only guy I can think of was C.J. Fedorowicz.
I am 100% positive.
Did you hear what he said?
Yeah.
That he said
Bill Belichick could have found a player that could play. That's all.
Yeah.
Fedorowicz would have been fine with me if that's the guy you want. But don't make it sound like that's the only guy that was drafted after 62 that can play.
Victor is in Ecuador. Hey, Victor.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good.
How you doing?
Yeah, well, listen, I really hated the Garoppolo pick, but the way I see it, it doesn't matter who they were going to pick in the second round, because basically the last few years they picked like trash players in the second round. But
so why not get another one? Makes sense.
Yeah, why not? And I'm pretty sure they're still going to win 12 to 13 games, be in the AFC Championship, and just battle it out for the Super Bowl. I was reading that one stat that really blew my mind away, and it was that the Brady-led Patriots in the playoffs have a better winning percentage than Michael Jordan Bulls in the playoffs. So any way you look at that, that's just amazing. And that's, you know, Brady and Belichick, basically.
Yeah, well, you can make that case.
Well, and another
You don't think there's any difference between basketball and football? You know, 4 out of 7 series? And then, no? Nothing?
Yeah, well, another thing I wanted to say to Eric, you're going to Prague next week, right?
Correct. Not next week, but next month, yeah.
You'll be going to quite a few countries, right?
Yes.
Are you going on? Do you have that Europass? You're going to take the train a lot?
We are going to be traveling.
We?
Well, I'm in a group.
Oh, a group.
A group tour. Okay. Yeah, but I'm not sure if we're traveling rail or road.
You got Freddie all excited.
Oui! No, that's French.
I thought we might have some news here. Breaking news.
No, there's never going to be any of that news. Anyway,
you better make sure to pick up that Drew Bledsoe toy for Paul.
That was you who?
Yeah, that was me.
Oh, that's right. Yeah,
that
you said
me.
That's at Prague Castle.
Yeah, it was at Prague Castle. It was
okay.
Like this huge toy museum. They had all kinds of toys, like U.S. presidents, Barbies, X-Men,
mm-hmm.
everything.
In Prague?
Really?
Yeah. And the
they
only
had like literally one NFL item.
It was a Drew Bledsoe.
They only had one NFL item, and it was Drew Bledsoe.
Wow.
Which is
sounds about
kind
of funny.
All right.
If I see it, I'm getting
it. Anyway.
I'm at least taking a picture of it. I'll promise you that.
Yeah.
Do that.
Okay.
Don't.
Anyway, guys.
Don't get it. All right, Victor.
All right, Victor. Are you going to be in Ukraine at all?
No, but I'll be right next door.
Because I was thinking you could go in and put your name in the hat to be the new president.
The new president. Yeah. I think that prime minister,
they
the
take
young
out
guy.
Applications?
Yeah. That young prime minister guy with the glasses, he looks a lot like what Zoltan Mesko, I think, will look like in the future.
That was very Paul-like. That young prime minister guy, that was very Paul-like.
Well, he's got one of those names that's a little hard to pronounce.
What's the place that you're most looking forward to seeing?
Well, that's really, I've never been to any of them, so I'm really looking forward to all of them.
Right.
I mean, it's hard to say now because...
Oh. Is there a theme to the tour? Like, are you
Well, it's Eastern Europe.
Europe.
Well, Central Europe, technically, because Ukraine and all
Eastern
those Baltic...
Eastern Europe strikes me as very buffalo-like, like cloudy, gray.
Yeah.
Actually,
doesn't it?
Yeah.
It's gray all the time. And I'm sure that's
it's
not
like
the case.
Someone playing a cello really slowly when you're in Eastern Europe.
just
following you around.
Right, just following you around.
Not like a dark cloud and a person playing a cello.
Just like waiting to die.
Well, I'm looking forward to all of them for different reasons, though, because each place has like a different thing that they're known for.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, Budapest is actually, a lot of people don't know much about Budapest, but it's really beautiful. From everything I've heard, people who go there say it's like one of their favorite cities. So
the parts that you see.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's really two cities in one. There's, and I'm not being funny, it's Buda is one half of the on one side of the Danube and Pest is on the other side. It's two different cities, but they've combined them into one. And the architecture there is supposed to be beautiful. Vienna is all about coffee and cakes and classical music.
All
the things
is
I love.
Beautiful.
Cookies.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know,
right?
Vienna fingers.
Vienna fingers,
right? Exactly,
right.
And Prague, everyone that I've ever talked to that's been to Prague says it's the most beautiful city they've seen.
Yeah,
and no one's ever said a bad thing about Prague. Well, and of course they make a lot of beer there, Paul. So I'll crack one open for you.
Yeah,
do they now? I probably wouldn't be able to get a Miller Lite.
Prague is known. The Czech Republic makes some of the best beer in the world.
I did not know that. Did you know that, Freddie?
Probably at one time. I've forgotten that. I used to be more of a beer connoisseur than I am.
Was that like your way of saying you have forgotten more than I'll ever know?
Yeah.
Because that's what it sounded like.
Pretty much, yeah. Well, so that's exciting.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
And it's 2 weeks?
Yeah.
2 weeks? That's good.
Yep. I'll be missing the last 2 weeks of minicamp. So, Paul, you and Andy will have to...
Yeah, I'll be here for minicamp. There's one day of the OTAs that I have a conflict on that I'm working feverishly to get out of. But
all right.
I'll be here for minicamp and all the other OTAs.
I'm flying into Frankfurt to switch planes.
What do you got over
and
there?
And then flying back.
Flying into Frankfurt.
Right, from Boston.
There's a joke there somewhere, but I just can't think of it right now.
No, I was wondering what touring group are you using for?
Same one I usually use.
Because I met a woman this past weekend that does that for a living, and she's based out of Newport.
It's too late now. He's already made all his reservations.
No, but I thought maybe she might. Oh. I forgot to get the name
of her
touring, but that's what she does. She goes on these like walking tours.
Oh, yeah?
So she takes people like right out of Logan and literally like shepherds.
See, that's what
them
I think you should do, Eric. You should start
be a local guide?
Yeah, yeah. No, not local. I think you should start a company that takes people
overseas. Oh, that takes people overseas.
That's what she did. I mean, she's on her own.
Yeah.
That's a long-term goal, actually.
Yeah.
That's something I would like to do.
And then you can find animals while you're out there.
That's actually part of what I want
to
do.
But she introduced me to one guy who's done 57 different tours with her.
Wow.
Maybe he wants, a little bit more than a tour.
He actually went with his wife on many of them, and she
like
just
to unfold your map.
she good heavens.
You got to see his face when he does it, too.
He was married, he brought his wife on many.
Well, maybe he's trying to get,
swing.
Just passed
away. You know, Eastern Europeans, they like to swing.
Ménage à toi. Yeah.
Ménage, if you know what I'm saying.
One of those parties, Italian, it's a ménage à toi.
One of those standing on a bread line all day, and my, boy, are my arms tired. That didn't make any sense.
What are you talking about?
What the hell are you talking about?
I had to take a Claritin D today for my allergies, and it makes me a little loopy.
You're a lot more spirited than the last show, I'll
say
that.
Did you take a Prozac?
Yeah, it makes
me... God, what was
Claritin
that?
D, the one that you get behind the counter, it makes me loopy, but it works.
Oh, I feel lightheaded.
Otherwise, I'd be in agony if I didn't take it. The other day, I could barely see. It was just a mess.
So Claritin causes temporary blindness?
Claritin D. No, if I don't take it, I can't see. My eyes are so itchy.
Did you guys see Captain Phillips?
Yes. I did. I saw it the other night.
I watched
TV.
It the other night. It was on the
and
TV.
I'm glad I didn't pay for it.
Oh, you didn't like it?
I didn't love it. Nice. I'm with Freddie.
Oh, I thought it was so boring. I thought the only...
That's what actually happened, though.
I know, but I thought the only acting that happened at the end was when Hanks broke down when they finally got rescued him.
Yeah.
I thought that, 2 minutes was amazing acting.
I agree.
Otherwise, it was like...
Wait a minute.
Now, I didn't see the... maybe the first 20 minutes or so. I didn't see the takeover. They were already on the boat when I started watching.
Right.
But I watched the last hour and a half. I mean, I watched, and obviously it's based on a true story, so you kind of know what's going to happen.
Yeah. Well, the first thing I get hit with is him trying to do a New England accent, which, please don't do that.
He kept going in and out of it, too. That was the problem.
Right.
That was the problem, that's a minor deal.
I didn't think it was that compelling. And like I said, in terms of the acting, I thought it was really amateurish until the end when he finally breaks down.
I agree with you on that.
You thought his acting was amateurish or all the rest of the cast?
Even him.
The rest of the cast were amateurs.
Yeah.
I cut him some slack on that.
I thought the guy who played the main hijacker was phenomenal, and he never acted in his life.
No, he wasn't. Nothing. He was an amateur.
I know he was nominated for an
he was good.
Oh, come on.
What do you mean, oh, come on?
I thought it was... A 10-year-old could have acted like that.
I thought it was boring.
I really did. I agree with you, Paul.
I thought it was...
Were you hooked on the story when it was happening?
Well, yeah. I mean, I remember...
Sure.
Because they basically did a play-by-play of what actually happened.
It was a little different. I don't want to spoil it for people who haven't seen it.
Well, it is. I mean, it's old.
It's not
HBO, for God's sake.
Blow for blow what actually happened. They added an element in there that I don't think happened.
Which element?
The lifeboat part. I don't think that happened on a lifeboat. I think it happened on the actual ship when they took him down.
No, it happened in a lifeboat.
Oh, okay, then maybe I'm wrong. Okay.
Everything happened as we saw it unfold on the news.
But either way,
I just think
that was the most difficult part of it was that they had to get all three to shoot at the same time.
But part of the boredom for me was the fact that it was true and you knew how it was going to end.
Well, that could be too.
So I had no suspense.
Yeah, that's true.
I really didn't. Now, real life, like you say, were you, gripped by the story? Yeah, because I didn't know what was going to happen.
I didn't think the acting was that great until that last part, which I thought was phenomenal.
I totally agree with you, Fred. I thought that scene, and he's a great actor, Tom Hanks, but I thought that scene was really strong. That was a powerful scene.
It was.
Yeah.
But I didn't really find.
I also liked the
majority of the time. The whole time in the lifeboat, I found to be incredibly dull.
Yeah.
Before that, at least when there was a lot of maneuvering on the different areas of the ship, the big ship.
Yeah.
I thought that was pretty good. That was gripping. But then once they got off the ship, it was okay. Now they I know they're coming.
We know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
I thought they did a good job though of getting right into it. They didn't waste a lot of time with his backstory. It was just like a typical day. You know, he gets up, drives with his wife to the airport. He takes off.
Yeah, I'm with you there. They didn't
waste any time.
No, well, so, I didn't miss anything.
No.
That's what you're telling me.
He missed packing his bag and kissing his wife goodbye.
That's it. And they drive to the airport.
Right.
They're driving from New Hampshire down to or Vermont, I think. Vermont, and they drive to the airport. He takes off. He's on the ship before you know it. And then all of a sudden, like, there's like one or two little hostage attempts that they skirt around and they're doing a drill on the ship. And it turns into a real thing.
They were doing the drill because he heard a report that there had been activity in the area.
Right.
And I can't believe these guys don't have guns.
He went right into it, too, right? Supposedly, like, there were some mistakes that he made that he shouldn't have.
Oh, really?
He was a little reckless, and I guess. He has a reputation for being a
little reckless. Oh, see, they made it look like he was taking every precaution.
Like he was a hero.
Yeah.
Which I guess that part of it was a little bit of dramatic license.
Let's go back to the phones. Kat's in Chicago. Hey, Kat.
Hey, how are you doing?
Good.
Hey, girl.
Are you enjoying your Andy free week?
Oh, God, yes.
It's so nice.
Kat, more than
we can actually
could ever
talk
know.
To one
I can
another.
Look ahead of me and actually see the wall. It's not
like I just brought up a movie and he didn't just say, "That was stupid."
Right. What do you need music for?
Yeah, I can tell it's the off-season by the Captain Phillips discussion.
Yeah.
So I finally am caught up on the draft shows. I have to say, this whole Mother's Day weekend draft thing was a real problem for me.
Yeah. Wait till next year when they want to do it on Memorial Day weekend.
Hold on a second.
And your dog apparently didn't like it either.
I know. He was upset.
Sit, Ubu, sit.
Cats and dogs over there.
Yeah. So,
hysteria.
Thank you. So anyway, sorry. Of course, the one time that I'm on the phone with you.
There's no foam coming out of his mouth, is there?
No.
Okay, good.
So the other thing I was going to say is I'm not trying to bring up the whole picks, tipping picks discussion again. What I do want to say is that the thing that's the most exciting to me about listening to the draft show is hearing your reactions to our picks. And I feel like when Easley was picked, you guys had all seen it beforehand. So what you end up getting, like, on our side, on your side, is probably different because you can see each other, you can see what you're doing, what's happening. But on our side of the broadcast, what we hear is like this muted reaction because you've already been in the studio and you've already seen it and you can't react to it on the air because you don't want to tip it to people. And so that's the only thing that's kind of a downside. So
maybe the answer, Kat, is don't go to the podium anymore. Just kind of do it in real time instead of waiting, and just get rid of the whole Goodell going to the podium thing.
That's fine with me.
So then
I think that would be fine. But
if we just said it,
just reacted to it.
We just said it and we went with our own flow.
We can't.
The nice thing for you guys is it would be a faster show, too.
A little bit.
Yeah. So much waiting
now, Paul, you say we can't.
I think we'll irritate a large portion of people who are watching and listening.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
Well, maybe,
that's the whole thing about. Last 2 years ago, we were giving the.
Picks. I was just assuming nobody did anything but listen to us.
Right. And you can't make that assumption. Right.
I mean, the other thing I would say is, like, I don't care about knowing any other team's pick before they announce it. I really don't understand why anybody would care about that. It's not our team.
Well, the league could maybe do a better job at not revealing the pick to anyone except the people working for the team that submit the card, the guy that takes the card, and then Goodell announcing
that's
at the
thing.
Why does everyone have to know?
That's true.
Why don't you threaten a job if Jason Lockenfora finds out?
Right. Exactly.
I don't understand why everybody had to know. You know, I don't know why Adam Schefter had to have a muzzle on. Why does Adam Schefter know?
Right.
Exactly.
And that would solve everything.
Exactly. Right? That's the best point. You're right.
Well, I think everybody knows because they have to do that stupid Jersey printing press thing that they do back there. So
But keep the reporters away from there.
Yeah.
Don't show them.
There's got to be a way.
There's got to be a way.
Maybe
to keep
the networks have a deal where they say you got to give us 2 minutes so we can get up the B-roll of the guy.
Well, maybe.
Right.
But again, the reporters don't have to know.
Right. It's true.
Right. It's going to be hard to keep it though. You've got the stage guys, all the crew in that studio.
Well, I'll give you an example though, Kat. Like they just had the NBA lottery Tuesday night.
Right.
And they actually do that. I'm sure that a lot of our listeners know. They do the lottery about 90 minutes before they put it on TV.
Oh, I didn't
the lottery know that. Is conducted before they go on, but nobody knows except for the individuals that are in that room, and they're not allowed to have any electronic device. They can't have their phones for that hour and a half.
Right.
So nobody knows. Like in Boston, the Celtics didn't know. Now, on site, Steve Pagliuca, one of the co-owners, he knew that they got the sixth pick.
Right.
It can be done.
Right.
It can be done.
Yeah.
With harsh penalties if someone, you know, screws with it. Yeah.
Right. If you want to fool around and you want to be reckless, you know.
In deference to PFW in progress, we have new rules that we're implementing
wouldn't that
for
be
2015.
Awesome? Yeah. Kat has proposed new rules.
Right.
I think that would be awesome.
And then we're all going to party in your new house that you built.
Yeah, you should.
All right.
Come anytime.
Are you done yet?
You never know. Chicago could be the site of the draft next year.
They come
talking.
Here, though, right?
Yeah.
This year?
I don't know.
Have you seen the articles that they're talking about moving it even further back?
Yeah, that's what I said when you first got on. I said you said Mother's Day was a problem. I said, how are you going to feel when he puts it on Memorial Day weekend?
Do you think...
most idiotic move he'll ever make.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
I didn't have a problem with him when he first came in. But now I think he's the biggest ass on the planet.
Wow. I loved him.
I still did.
I loved him when he came in, and now I'm really
I like
really
him, but he's fixing too many things that aren't broken.
Well, I think he's listening to everybody, and sometimes you can't do that.
I really liked the way he tried to clean up the league, in terms of
off-field.
Yes.
I really like that. I think
he's done.
I think he took it too far. I think he's become a little bit all too powerful, and now this whole notion that We're listening to our fans, and we're giving our fans what they want. And again, I don't hear anybody talking about.
So, Kat, what you need to do
expanded
is
expanded playoffs. If aside from me, have you heard anybody say they like expanded playoffs?
No,
really.
this is what the fans want.
But Kat, you need to organize a fan base to tell the league so that Raj can hear you. No Memorial Day weekend draft, and don't expand it to 4 days.
Right.
Shorten it, if anything.
Right.
I know.
All right, Kat.
Hard enough.
Let's get some other people on the line. Thanks for calling in. Jose's in Lynn. Hey, Jose.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
I just wanted to chime in on the whole, Garoppolo-Brady thing.
Yep.
You guys were talking about earlier if Brady's on a decline.
Well, these guys think he is,
And whether Belichick is actually seeing that and trying to plan for the future?
We wonder if
Belichick thinks that maybe he has slowed down a little bit.
Yeah.
Because, like, me personally, you know, watching Brady play over the years, I am seeing, you know, like Eric was saying earlier, that you got to hold him accountable for certain throws that he has missed, you know, and I'm seeing him, you know, maybe not being as, you know, as elite as you guys were saying, you know, in the pocket, turtling up a little bit more and, you know, taking sacks that he wouldn't take before. You know, it just looks like maybe he is on a little bit of a decline. And what do you guys really
think? Yeah, I do. Jose, I do think that he is. I agree with the way Eric put it the other day. It's not that he has dropped off the face of the earth. It's been a decline. But he's at such a high level that, you know, you can't maintain that forever. So I do think that he missed some open receivers last year. I do think that he does not handle the pocket as well as he once did consistently. There are times that he does, but there are other times I think that he, like you put it, he turtles. I think there were times that he's done that, and he never used to do that.
Yeah,
exactly. And you also said how he's never been really gifted when it came to the long ball and throwing the long ball, and how Randy Moss used to bail him out again a lot.
Yeah,
but last year that's kind of what I felt happened. Well. Throughout the whole season, you know, in earlier in the season, it was him and the rookies, and then Gronk came in, And I feel like Gronk bailed him out on a lot of passes.
I agree.
You know what I mean? That he would have missed.
How about that one that he caught around his ankles in Houston?
Exactly.
Amazing.
You know what
catch.
I mean? So,
right.
So, I don't know. Maybe, like, there used to be a point where Brady used to make weaker pieces look more better. You know what I mean?
I do. And I think that he is now.
Now he needs the elite pieces himself, you know?
But, yeah. Now, I wouldn't say he needs all the elite, but I kind of agree with the way Jose put that. I think he can no longer make everybody. He can't just make anything better like he used to.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's about it. That's all I
want to
chime in.
All right. Thanks, Jose.
I'll be. I'm going to be in Lynn over the weekend.
Oh yeah.
Jose's in Lynn.
Okay. Manning Bowl.
Soccer tournament in Lynn. Oh, no.
At the Manning Bowl.
No. Classical.
Let's go to Chester in Oregon. Hey, Chester.
Hey, what's up, guys? How you doing today?
We're doing great.
Awesome. Good to hear you. I wanted to share a quick 2 cents on Garoppolo, and you know, I've been hearing a lot of this conversation today. To me, guys, it's obvious that this is a succession move for Brady. I mean, he's 37 years old. I'm the same age. And I got to tell you, I mean, I take the wrong step and I'm sore for 3 days. I realize that he's got we've got a lot of expectations for him executing on the field, but I don't know if we're factoring in the fact that his body only has so much longer to go here, you know?
How much do you think, Chester? What do you think? How many?
I'd say 2 years.
Okay. If that's the case, then I'll be fine with the pick. If you're right, and he only has 2 years left, I love the pick.
I'd hope for more, but I just question what we're going to have left in terms of, you know, a body and everything else at that age. I mean,
just based on the way everybody else has made fun of me for my comments about Brady in the playoffs, I'm surprised that people think he's going to be done in 2 years. That's all.
Yeah, I don't see him sticking around until he's 40 years old. The guy's got a lot going on in life aside from football, as much as that's a focus in his life. I mean, look at all the moves that were made this draft and, you know, acquisitions. I mean, you know, additions at running back, O-line, defense. I mean, if this doesn't suggest that we're looking to protect the quarterback and take some of the focus, you know, off of that and not live and die by the quarterback, I mean, it's blatantly obvious to me. We're looking to get more protection for him. We're looking to get more defensive help. And we're looking to bolster our stable running backs so that we don't have to be heavily reliant and give Brady 60 attempts in the air. You know, to me,
they never gave Brady 60 attempts.
I don't know what the debate is. And, Paul, I think you're spot on by saying, if Brady does go 3 years or no, it would be a horrible draft pick. But I don't see it being that way.
Let's go back to the. Like I said, I just find I'm finding it strange that people consistently think, and I'm not picking on you, Chester, but this has been a lot of the feedback we're getting. A lot of people think in 2 years, Garoppolo will be ready in year three to take over. I have been sort of tongue-in-cheek but sort of serious about Brady's postseason performance over the last 4 or 5 years. People have really been, you know, Andy kills me for it all the time. And now I'm hearing a lot of people think that, two more years and then Garoppolo could take over. Well,
Garoppolo's the guy. But Mallett's not the guy. And I think that's why this was made. I mean, Mallett ain't the guy. So we got.
Well, how do you know Garoppolo is?
I mean, because he's good. He's worked with.
Well, you're not going to know anyway.
Because he's good?
I mean, look. No, he's got the aptitude, I think, that might work here. I mean,
how do you know?
He's worked with Tom Martinez. Well, I don't know, but I see with the coaching that he's had, and I think that he's got a lot of similar wiring that Tom Brady does. To me, it makes some sense there in terms of maybe having a fit. Am I overvaluing the link with Tom Martinez there? I mean,
I would say
yes.
Like that's an intangible situation there, personally.
No, I think overrating that.
Well, fair enough, and maybe we'll see. But to me, that's what separates some of these other guys in terms of, you know, maybe being a mesh there.
Let me ask you something else. Who else has Tom Martinez worked with, other than Brady?
That's beyond me.
Me too. I just broke the number one rule for a lawyer: you never ask a question that you don't know the answer to. I don't know the answer to that, but Tom Brady's the only guy I ever heard of that worked with Tom Martinez. So if this guy is such a guru, it worked for Tom Brady. Who else has it worked with?
I just think it'll help this kid. Yeah, it'll help translate the information to him. You know, being a young kid,
that might have helped him get a little. The coaching staff get a little more familiar with him because they kind of knew what he was doing before. But I don't think that has anything to do with it. I really think they like the way this kid plays.
And if Chester is right, and Garoppolo is playing in year three because Brady is done, then I'll like to pick a hell of a lot more. And then if I find out that he can play, home run.
Even better, he's playing in year three because he leapfrogged Brady.
Well, whatever.
And Brady can still play a little.
Whatever the reason, then you can get something for Brady.
Right.
Home run.
Yeah. I feel like I'm committing blasphemy when I say that.
I'm not going to be stubborn about it. If it works out the way that you guys are talking, I'm not going to sit here and say Stiller's a bad pick. No. Then it would have been a great pick.
You got to give a shot, though. I think at some point you got to give a shot. And we roll with Mallett another year. We're just another year behind the curve.
Well, you're rolling with Mallett for another year. Mallett's going to be on the team.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you're not hinging anything on him.
I'm not hinging anything on Garoppolo either.
I am.
Yeah.
Not this year, you're not.
The jury's out. All I'm saying is that I think we've got Garoppolo a lot more for succession than we did a backup.
I agree with that.
Granted, Brady might mix a couple games, and maybe he could be a better fill-in than Mallett, but I think we've got to give it a shot. And to me, it's 100% succession, because I don't want to see Tom Brady as a cyborg in 2 years like our buddy Ray Lewis. You know, I mean, I want to see this guy go out on top. I want to see him, you know, I don't want to see him with a devastating injury or, you know, neck brace like my man Grogan. I mean, you know, it's going to be time for him to ride off in the sunset, whether we like it or not. And, you know, to me, Garoppolo, I don't know if he's going to be the guy or not, but, you know, it just seems to me like they're looking for a character guy and a guy that's going to have aptitude over a, you know, a big arm and a guy that's just, you know, nothing but skill. They're going to look for somebody who's going to fit in, mesh in, buy in, and whether it's Garoppolo or not, we'll see. But, you know, it seems to me right now that he has some of those attributes that would suggest that much. So,
go Garoppolo!
Yeah. Anyway, that's my 2 cents, and that's all I got, guys. You guys have a great weekend. I'm out.
All right, Chester.
Thanks, Chester.
All right.
Almost never agree with Chester, but I love his calls.
Let's go to Larry in Miami. Hey, Larry.
Yeah, I love the.
Hey,
he always has a very logical argument. Mm-hmm. I just don't always agree with it.
What's up, Larry?
Fred, don't tell me this. So you just gave up like that, man? Everything's supposed to be fine.
Everything is fine. Why? What do you mean?
No, with Brady, man.
I'm thinking of the future here.
I'm thinking of the past, like Tuesday, when everything was fine.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, but I really don't like that pick, Garoppolo. I'm not sure about that one. I don't think he is the future after Brady.
No.
To be honest.
Okay.
And that pick right there, I put it up there as one of the worst picks.
The real question, though, Larry, is if there was a guy available in the second round in this draft that you did think could be the next guy, would you take him now?
Yeah, I would take him.
Okay, no, so me, that's a see. That's
see me,
thing.
I wouldn't.
Right.
That's where. Right. See, that's why you keep fixing it on Garoppolo, and I don't want a quarterback in
you
the second
care,
round,
right?
Because I think it's going to be 4 years before one place.
I get you.
Yeah, I didn't want it at that pick, but it's just because I really was hammering for that defense this year. If we were to win for defense and tight end or whatever, that's the only thing I'd have been fine with. But that pick right there really messed my taste up in that draft. Mm-hmm. And
but you got to wait to see him play, Larry. You can't just say it's a horrible pick. I mean, if Chester, Fred, and Eric are right, and in a couple of years Brady is declining and Garoppolo is making leaps and bounds advancements, and he's the guy, then, you know, that could happen. There's nothing like fantasy world about that. That could legitimately happen.
Yeah, I see him. He's probably going to be the next tight end, because I don't think I could see him as a quarterback. I don't know, man, because that right there, to me, for a successful Brady, going to have to be in the first round.
Who's going to be a tight end?
No, I'm just saying, it was switches like Edelman. You know how they drafting quarterbacks and they end up playing something else.
Oh, I see.
Yeah,
well, Edelman wasn't really drafted as a quarterback.
And he wasn't really a quarterback. Yeah,
he was a quarterback in college, but he wasn't drafted as a quarterback.
And he wasn't really even a quarterback in college. He ran around in the option.
But, you know, I guess in Bill we trust, I guess.
You got that right. Thanks, Larry.
Thanks, Larry.
Let's go to Brian in Essex, Vermont with an email. Do you really feel that Brady's misses were more a result of his decline or receivers being out of position?
Both.
What I mean is,
both.
Much of the plays are probably timed by a receiver's speed and the routes they run. Ergo, Brady is expecting them to be in a certain place, and maybe they weren't. Do you think some of his missing wide-open receivers can be attributed to that, or do you think it's more he just missed them dreadfully?
I think both.
The latter.
I'm not making excuses for Brady. I agree that his numbers were down last year.
See, that's what I put on the receivers. His numbers being as down as they were, I put on the receivers. Missing wide-open guys like Julian Edelman cutting across the deep middle of the field is on him.
But I wonder if there's more factors to this thing we're really accounting for. There is something to be said about the complexity of the Patriots' offense, and it just seems like the brand-new receivers exhibited that throughout the year, not to mention that they were also hit with injuries throughout the season, which may very well have impacted their speed, which could count for them being out of position.
Yeah, as Paul said, the overall numbers being down is more a combination of the new receivers and Brady. But when a guy is wide open, nobody around him for 10, 15 yards, that's all Brady.
And we saw some of those. And we saw some of those that weren't caught by Aaron Dobson. I can remember the one that went off his hand that the throw was almost perfect. And there were others that I saw him airmail Julian Edelman a couple of times on deep balls, including one in the AFC Championship
game. And it's not just overthrowing or underthrowing. Like, a lot of times these guys are open, and Brady's throwing a bad pass to them.
Right.
Like, it's in the area, but it's not like it makes them stop, and they have to turn around. And, you know, if he hits them in stride, it could be a touchdown.
The touchdown to Gronk, you know, was a terrible throw. I mean, that's not – he caught it. It was a touchdown. His numbers were fine and all that stuff.
That was a great play by Gronk.
Yeah.
Hey guys, longtime listener, first time emailer from Columbus, Ohio. My name is Joe McGinnis, and I'm a junior at Olentangy High School, where your radio podcast is extremely popular.
Wow. Boy, we thought office workers.
5 million likes?
The reason for my email was to ask if you believe the reports that our first round pick, Dominique, had as high a ceiling as Jadeveon Clowney. Love your work and keep hitting Big Head with the insults.
Who said that?
Yeah, who said that?
Well, I think a lot of reports that I've read is that had he not been injured, he was the second best defensive tackle in the draft.
Behind Aaron Donald.
No, well, defensive lineman behind Clowney.
I haven't read that anywhere. I haven't read that anywhere. Defensive tackle, yes, I've read that. Not defensive lineman.
Lineman.
But as I said, not only if he were healthy, not only he would have been the number one overall pick, he wouldn't have been eligible for the draft. He would have needed to be posted. They would have posting fees for this guy. That's how great he was. That's what's being fed to us now about Easy. I went from absolutely loving
that.
I went from absolutely loving that email that just said it.
Who
said he was comparable to Clowney?
They're totally different kinds of players.
Yeah.
I did hear people say, had he not been hurt, he probably would have been the best defensive lineman besides Clowney in the draft.
Media reports?
Yeah,
is that what you're hearing?
Media people.
Yeah. Well, so don't tell me that I'm not hearing. Don't call it a straw man. You just said that you've read reports.
I'm not
making it up.
You went the other way.
I'm not making it up. Yeah. You're telling me that that's what the reports are saying now.
Some people have said
that,
yes.
I think that is, I love the Easley pick. Loved the Easley pick. We're getting a little ridiculous on how high he would have been taken had he not torn his ACL. That's all I'm saying.
Let's see. Brian writes in about Tom Martinez. According to Wikipedia, Tom Martinez is also
working
with...
I'm curious about this. Who else is
John Elway and Jamarcus Russell. So a little
hit or miss.
Yeah. Yep. So there you go.
It's the new guy, House, that's reportedly been...
Tom House?
Yeah, has been involved
with
more players.
Well, the other guy that seems to be... Whitfield, the guy seems to get a lot of play now as the new guru that everybody is going to. A lot of the college kids went to him. George, I think. George Whitfield. Is that his name?
George?
No relation to Gotsi.
Yeah. Rensis writes in, Paul, you can one, like Garoppolo.
Yes.
Two, have an experienced backup in Mallett. Three, have an experienced backup next year when Mallett leaves. And four, have Brady insurance too. All of these conspire. They do not have to be separated logically.
That's all the same
as
thing.
As you say, in my opinion.
No, I would agree with you. On those four different things, to me, are all the same. Backup. You think he's a backup. And if you think he's a backup, that's fine.
So you think liking the quarterback, having experienced backup, having experience.
All makes sense. All what he just said. Ramsey's, you just said?
Rensis.
Rensis. All makes sense. All very logical. What I'm saying is, don't tell me it's a great pick if you picked him as a backup. If you picked him to be the successor to Tom Brady and you like him, and that's why you like it, that's you, Fred, right?
Right.
I'm not putting words in your mouth. I don't think there's anything wrong with your argument, Fred.
You like the player, and
you think that he someday is going to take the place of Tom Brady, right?
I think he can, yep.
I don't want to hear a guy tell me, I like the player as a backup to Tom Brady.
Right. Then it's not worth a second
round pick.
That's
not worth a second round pick. Right. That's all I'm saying.
Josh in Charlottesville, Virginia, long time no talk. I don't know why you guys are so down on Belichick for drafting Garoppolo.
Not down on him for it.
And a bunch of offensive linemen, considering that we have to face
not down on the offensive linemen.
Considering that we have to face more stacked defensive fronts than we have in years, and the fact that Tom is almost at the big 4-0, I consider it a damn wise investment. If you guys honestly think that Tom gives you the best chance to win, then why not protect him from the likes of Julius Peppers, Clay Matthews, DeMarcus Ware, Pot Roast, Von Miller, etc.
Do you think any of the guys they took this year are going to protect him from those guys?
If the injury bug strikes, then we need backup plan, or our Super Bowl hopes would be just as dead regardless of who was catching the ball. I'm not very disappointed in the Garoppolo pick, as I think the kid shows a lot of promise and I have some high hopes for him, but I don't think he is the second coming of TB12. I would love to see Brady play for at least another 4 years, and if you think he is declining in ability, then go back and watch the second half of the Broncos game during the regular season. Keep up the good work.
All right, then watch the first half. if you don't think he's declining, go and watch the first half of that game. Not to pick at every little thing on the email, but I don't think a lot of people have been overly critical of drafting three offensive linemen. Have you? Have you heard a lot of that? I mean, I know I'm straw man guy. Have you heard a lot of people criticizing the offensive lineman picks?
Not really, no.
They need some young offensive linemen as some depth. And my guess is that probably two of those three guys will pan out.
I think some people were a little underwhelmed that they were looking for more splash.
Three? Yeah. I think some people might have said.
Right.
But offensive line?
Was a need.
Was a need.
Yeah.
Depth on the offensive line was a need.
James and Malden, Paul, pretty convenient that Bill is terrible in the second round over the last decade, but now that you don't like his pick, you are confident that he could have found someone that can play.
Will you?
Tavon Wilson, Darius Butler, Terrence Wheatley, Razai Dowell.
Are you upset with those picks?
James? I would assume he is.
Okay, that's all I'm saying. It's another in a long line of blown second-round picks.
Right.
That's my point.
Okay.
So because he's bad at second-round picks means we should just forfeit it
and take
a guy that we don't think will play?
Well,
I mean, I would assume he went. He's exactly making my point for me. Everybody says, "Well, he loved Garoppolo. He loved Rasai Dowling too."
Mm. He did.
Because he loves him doesn't mean he can play.
Nick in Kalamazoo, Michigan. In my opinion, this is the last year of Brady's window. I don't see Revis being here with that high cap number, especially with the high contracts all the cornerbacks are signing. The Patriots don't typically commit long-term if the name is not Brady or Bill. If they don't make a good run this year, do you guys agree the window is closing faster than people are admitting? If we stay healthy, I think we can get the AFC Championship game at home. We have a legitimate chance. This is the year. Okay. So I guess the question is, is things closing faster than we're willing to admit in terms of the window?
No, I think the window's closing. I don't think it's closing,
been closing
any faster.
Slowly.
Yeah, I don't think it's closing any faster than anybody's willing to admit. I think that they have a quarterback who's going to be 37 when the season's underway.
To be fair, I did say it was closed at one point.
It's closed. Yeah. So you shouldn't really even talk about this. The window is closed.
John in New Brunswick, I just watched the 5 million likes video. Do you guys sit that close for 2 hours in that swank studio? If so, I have two questions. One, where does Andy's head fit? And two, how come there are no fist fights? If I was that close with my coworkers, there'd be a few black eyes and bloody noses. No, we actually don't sit that close. We got together for the video.
That was the only one that was close to the area.
I'm actually in another zip code. I'm not even in the same room as Eric and Paul right now.
Imagine if we were sitting that close.
He's got an ISDN line.
Imagine if we started our arguments and we were that close.
Oh,
like you and Andy would kill each other.
Oh, yeah.
They'd headbutt each other.
Because you don't seem to have the venom to me when you're arguing with me that you do with Andy.
No, but because Andy, you at least try to discuss it and allow the other person to talk.
Andy gets unreasonable.
But he starts yelling at you, and then he says things that you didn't even say.
Yeah.
Well, you think that he's a rapist.
Right.
I didn't say that. And then you start arguing something that's not even... And you know he's losing when he does that.
Of course.
You know?
And he does that a lot.
That's my... You know, like when you play in poker?
He loses a lot.
The tell?
Yeah.
That's always my tell when I know I have him.
Right. Mm-hmm.
When he goes to the theater of the absurd,
right.
I've won.
Yeah.
But it's frustrating, you know? So... That's why. That's why he deserves a punch. I'd probably break my hand on his head, though.
Yeah.
You ever punch somebody and you hurt yourself?
If I punch someone and hurt myself?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I've hurt my hand.
Yeah.
But I haven't been in a fight in a long time.
I once cut my knuckle.
Yeah, it was that guy at the Super Bowl 31, right?
I am approaching my 46th birthday. My days of fighting are over.
It was the Packer fan.
Yeah, I didn't throw any punches that day. Although I would have.
No, it was the lady at Babies R Us. We all know that.
Well, the show went quick.
I know.
It's time to go already.
I know.
Thanks, everyone, for calling, emailing.
I got you through the last hour.
Oh, wow.
No, it was good. It was a good discussion and one that will continue.
And I do think
hopefully for many years to come.
There's a very good chance that if Brady is done before I think he's going to be done, that I change my view on this pick.
That's okay. All right. So nothing's going on this weekend that we know of, Patriots-wise?
Patriots-wise, no. Yeah. I'm sure we'll be the last to know.
But OTAs start next Tuesday. Yeah, we're going to be allowed to watch the one on Friday, so we won't be able to talk about anything we've seen until the following week.
Right. So,
but keep an eye on Patriots.com. You might get some stuff on Patriots.com a little before that.
Oh, actually, yes. There's actually already a video of workouts that have been happening outside. So
right.
Check Patriots.com.
Right. It's already up.
We'll see you next Tuesday.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.